Say something, goddammit. You're on television. You're live to the whole world.
Welcome to another movie podcast, the show that assures it'll never be forgotten or avoid dying twice by being extra nice on family dinners. I'm Oscar, and with me today is...
Ralph.
And...
Luke.
Yes, I almost said like Luke back from, but we did that whole thing. I just so used to you not being here that I forgot again.
Damn. Yeah,
I was 41 grams too. Of sugar. That's a lot.
Yeah, and now you're counting sugar. Well, we're deteriorating from this already.
Sorry.
30 seconds in. That's okay, I'm leaving.
I was
it
hoping
in.
For under 30.
Under 30. No, it was under 30, yeah. Anyway, what we are is that we are a podcast typically that almost always stays on the ball on things that we review three or new or newish films that come out in theaters or on VOD for us to review, and on a biweekly basis we do that. And we also talk about marathons and top 10 shows and bonus episodes that relate to those things. And so we're movie crazy. And today is episode number 38. And today's show will consist of three films, of course. One is Straight from Egypt, or Cairo. I think it's in the city of Cairo, right? Am I wrong?
Sure.
I'm pretty sure.
I want to say it is, yes.
It's a movie called The Nile Hilton Incident, which you can rent right now, right?
Yeah, it's rentable everywhere.
It came out earlier in the year, internationally speaking.
Internationally.
And then we're going to review the Pixar's latest film, Coco, which is dominating the box office, I believe, still. And then we're going to end our show with a new film that's out on limited release, and it'll be out on wide release, I assume, this weekend, actually.
Krampus.
Is, no.
Oh.
I never seen that movie.
Oh,
that was, like, bad, good bad. Anyway.
Yeah.
No, but the movie we're reviewing is The Disaster Artist. And that's going to be a fun one, let me tell you. Remember, guys, our show can be found at otherpodcast.com and email for feedback or questions, support, any, you want to tell how much, you know, we're assholes. You can send it to podmoviecast@gmail.com. Now,
excuse me, sarcastic assholes.
Sarcastic, right. Before we start, let us talk a little bit on the stuff we've been watching in the meantime, in the interim. Anyway, my two movies here, I've seen only two, is one is Lady Bird, which I don't know if you guys have heard of this movie.
Obviously not.
No, not obviously not. It's been big right now.
We never hear of
it. Have you seen it?
I have heard
it?
Not heard. I have not seen it. I have heard of it.
Okay.
It's about a bird who's lady.
A lady, right.
Two words or one?
I'm going to read the long one here from IMDb, the long plot description.
Is it two words or one?
Two.
Oh, okay.
It's two words.
So, like, her first name is Lady?
No. It's neither. So, it's she calls herself Lady Bird.
Oh, okay.
So, like, makes other people
it's
call
like
her
that.
I'm about to say the fucking answer right now.
Sorry.
Jesus. No, it's not like Cher. Cher is one word. So, it's not like Cher.
I said, like, the artist formerly known as Prince?
Yes, exactly. That's a lot of words, though. Christina Lady Bird McPherson. Yep, that's her name. Is a high school senior from the wrong side of the tracks, literally. She longs for adventure, sophistication, and opportunity, but finds none of that in her Sacramento College high school. Lady Bird follows the title's character senior year in high school, including her first romance, her participation in the school play, and most importantly, her applying to college. And this is the film that...
It's a coming-of-age movie.
Right. It's a directorial debut of Greta Gerwig. Have you guys know? Do you guys know who she is? She's an actress.
Why don't you tell us who it is?
She's an actress. Well, I'm asking, bitch.
Why don't you just tell us?
I'm asking Roth, really.
What movie?
Greta Gerwig. She did Mistress America.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, you missed it? She was in...
We didn't even know it existed.
Frances Ha? I think we saw that together.
We did not see Frances Ha together, and I did not finish that movie.
Oh, you never saw it?
No, I started watching it on Netflix, and I never finished it.
She's in 20th Century Women, which I know you haven't seen.
No, that movie was like super limited release.
Maggie's Plan. She was in a few How I Met Your Mother
episodes. I got a feeling I know who she is. I got a feeling I know who she is.
So she's
her directorial debut?
Yeah, she writes a lot.
So she's a star and she's a director?
Oh, shit. I pressed trailer. Yeah. And this one she writes and directs, but not doesn't act, though. And
She's not the actor. She's not the main actress?
No, okay. This time, no. And she's been collaborating with her husband, with that one guy who did Frances Ha and Mrs. America.
Okay.
Like, this couple both co-wrote.
I thought you were just going to leave it at that one.
I still forget his name, but he did those movies with her. And I never liked his movies so much, but I've always liked her inclusion in his movies. And now that she's made her own, it's clear to me that I like her stuff. And the stuff in his movies that's from her is the best stuff for me.
Oh, that's funny.
So it's like she plays this aloof, you know, kind of a crazy character that clearly is autobiographical.
Sure.
And Lady Bird, essentially, it feels like a gigantic, autobiographical, very personal and very realistic depiction of Greta Gerwig, because the whole thing takes place in 2003. and the year she graduates high school, the way the year Greta Gerwig graduated high school, and she's from Sacramento, and all this stuff is so intertwined with her personal life, which means the movie is really funny and really good.
Okay, that's cool.
It has, I would say it has an Edge of 17 feel to it in the way that it's just very genuinely humorous and genuinely cool
okay.
to watch. Because you guys saw that movie, right? We reviewed it, right?
Yeah, we did see it.
Did we review it?
I was really hard. I'm really hard on coming of age movies.
Well, I mean, it's not like it's not one movie's fault that there's a bunch of them coming out all the time. But you're right, there's a bunch of them out all the time.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's like everybody.
I can't blame.
Well, the reason it's like people getting mad at comic book movies. You know,
oh yeah, I mean, which I understand. It's like four or five a year,
exactly.
Easy. So that makes sense.
That's how I feel about coming of age movies.
Well, yeah, there's exactly that many, probably two, and they're also cheaper to make because they're indie.
Sure.
They're indie fodder.
I just feel like people don't talk about being mad about. Having to see all of those.
Oh, really? Well, just because I think there's more room to breathe as far as like what you can see. Action movies, you know, we're going to show just a different way to shoot someone.
Yeah.
Slightly different way. It's not right. much of a, it's not as dynamic.
Curving bullets. Shit, they did that I wanted. Okay.
Yeah, they did. That's a reference.
Uh-huh.
That's a, what, 2008 movie?
I don't remember. It's a while ago.
First time I saw James
McAvoy. Spoiler
alert. Right? I think.
He plays for the bad guys.
James McAvoy.
That is
right?
a James
first,
McAvoy.
Like one of his first.
Bigger roles, yeah.
Right? Big role, maybe his first big role. Anyway, but I really like this movie. Lady Bird's, it's not a question of whether or not it's going to make my top 10, but where I'm going to put it. So
that's
how good. I just loved it every minute. And
But then again, you're a sucker for coming of age movies.
No, I'm a sucker for the good ones. It starts Saoirse Ronan. I'm sure I mispronounced that. She's Hannah.
That doesn't
Hannah.
Help us at all. Oh, okay.
That's her. And
you mispronouncing names doesn't help.
Lucas Hedges from last year's Boston movie about the guy who
Boston.
Killed his family.
That's not helpful.
Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, okay,
the kid he has to take care of. He's like second or third.
Yeah. Oh, he's.
What does he kill his family? It was an accident.
He killed his family by leaving them behind.
Jesus, it's like he went and fucking butchered them.
I'm sorry, he deserves his misery. That's all I'm saying. I'm making a stand right now.
Dude,
I'm just fucking with you.
That is rough.
It's a movie, guys. Come on.
It
everyone
is,
settle down.
It is. Calm down.
Ah, you owe that to me.
By Amazon Prime.
Yeah, and the next movie I saw here. Okay, so that's Lady Bird. Awesome. I want to watch it, especially if you're old enough. Because you'll get the references of 2006.
Sure, yeah.
Mudbound. Have you guys heard of this one?
I heard about it on a different podcast.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah.
No, it's been making it's
on Netflix.
Yeah, it's been
original,
making
right?
its way around.
They're trying to do a theatrical release, I think, for this movie.
And I get it because it's really, really good.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's painfully good. It's maybe the thing. Two men return home from World War II to work on a farm in rural Mississippi, where they struggle to deal with racism and adjusting to life after the war. That is a very, very vague viewpoint because it isn't just about these two men. One is black, one is white. It is about the families they left behind. And it isn't even about them. The main thrust of most of the movie is the family living on the farm. That's the black family who are like tenants.
Yeah.
Living on and working on this farm. They've been working for 200 years but never owned.
Yeah.
You know. And then the white family who just got there and got the land, but they're struggling to get this, make a future for themselves. And they're struggling just as much. But obviously, the black family is struggling way more because they're black. And the movie does this great, like really endearing amount of like back and forth that's equal parts. There is no favoritism. There are some people you're going to clearly hate and some people you're going to clearly love and sympathize easier with. But the movie doesn't take any punches pulled away from the material that they're using in the movie. And there are some racial stuff, but it isn't the dominant thing. It's, you know, where we're going to eat. The rain's going to kill the farm. You know, like they practice all this stuff. And the movie has a cold open of a flash forward that I think works really well with the movie.
Oh,
and it has the first half of the movie, maybe a bit more, because it's like a two-hour movie, has a bunch of voiceovers that these characters are telling themselves, telling us, and how they see lives and how they would have wanted them to change or how they perceive themselves to be as parents or as a husband or as a spouse. And it's very interesting, great stuff about the times and the mentality of these people. It does go away at some point, and you actually kind of miss it. I never thought I would miss voiceovers in a movie, but I really did in this one because it really worked out well. And this movie has a big, nice, awesome cast, which stars Carey Mulligan. Of course, it has three white people first, by the way. That's really obvious. Rob Morgan, Jason Clarke, Garrett Hedlund, Jonathan Banks. He's a racist prick. Jason Mitchell, Mary J. Blige, Kevin Harrison Jr. I know maybe some of you don't know, but if you see them, you might recognize them. It's a really good movie. Really, really well acted. It's directed by Dee Reese. And I recommend it. It's on Netflix, so if you have a Netflix subscription or you steal your friends, I highly recommend it. But it's not an easy watch, guys. So I'm just going to put that out there. It's not a horror, but it's just fucked up. Just like a lot of fucked up things happening. So those are the two movies I've seen. Ralph, you have two movies I have not seen. I want to see them so bad. Do you remember the first one?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you want to talk about the movie it's based on first, or?
I'm actually going to co-mingle them.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, I saw documentary, I guess. Yeah, I guess it is. Documentary, yeah. called, this is a good title, hold on. Jim and Andy, The Great Beyond, featuring a very special contractually obliged mention of Tony Clifton. That's the name
that's
of the
whole
that's
title.
The whole title.
I didn't know that was the whole title.
Yeah, it's in very small letters in the thing.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
But when you look up Jim and Andy, that's the whole fucking title.
Jesus.
Nice.
So yeah, but this is about the making of Man on the Moon, the movie about Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman. Yeah. That is played by Jim Carrey, who apparently persona'd him completely, like method acting.
He Daniel Day-Lewis'd him.
He Daniel Day-Lewis'd him bad, like hardcore. Like, so I never knew that about the movie, about what he did. I was too young for Andy Kaufman stuff.
Oh, I still don't know anything about him, actually.
Now, I've seen some stuff of Andy Kaufman that I've seen on YouTube, or I've seen on random SNL stuff that I've seen, whatever, or just famous clips of things that people put up of him.
Okay.
But I've never actually seen anything like. Maybe, I mean, then again, that's all it was just smaller things like that.
Right, yeah. I mean, we can't know everyone.
Right, exactly. Right. And then the movie does a good job of just kind of, well, I'll talk about Man on the Moon real quick. And the movie does a really good job of just kind of going through his life and just focusing on
it's
what
a biopic,
wants.
Right?
It's a biopic, yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. And going through his life and seeing what it was and seeing how, what we're kind of like, it was trying to get his mindset on it, which is really hard because he was this type of, he was like a comedian, but he was focused as a musician, like a musical show that he would do, right? And it was really weird because he started off that whole I don't know if you've seen that bit where he lip syncs to the Mighty Mouse song.
I know nothing about him.
And but he doesn't even do the whole song though. That's the whole trick to it, is that he just does like two lines in the whole song, and there's like the chorus lines, which everybody knows. It's really funny, and he just lip syncs it, and he does like what's it called, them hand gestures and facial things, and it's funny, and he's just really weird. And his whole thing was he wanted to make people laugh, and he wanted to be ahead of them. He wanted to be like, he didn't want people to get the joke. He wanted to be, by the time they got the joke, he was already past that. He was like, I'm going to the next thing. Like, he wants to be ahead of them before they get the whole thing, right? They get the whole joke. And that was the whole thing about the movie, about who Andy Kaufman was, right?
All right.
And Jim Carrey portrays him in the movie, and it was pretty cool until he gets cancer. And then he ends up being this guy, Tony Clifton, also, like who he plays as. He like literally dresses up, makeup, and everything.
It's
a different person. It's not Kaufman. A different person, but his best friend also played Tony Clifton. It was really weird, and like they just did a really great job. It was really confusing. Like,
sounds
really
like that weird Joaquin Phoenix documentary where he's playing, or maybe he's not playing, that weird fake documentary or whatever.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Who plays like
kind of like it?
Plays himself, but like a version of himself.
This movie, the reason this Jim and Andy thing is this documentary, they had them, it was shot during the making of the movie. It was like supposed to be like a behind the scenes.
Okay.
And the reason whoever owned the rights, they didn't, that it seemed, what's it called?
Oh, yes, I heard about this.
The distributors.
The distributors didn't want it because it's too hardcore or weird.
It was too hardcore or weird, but it made Jim Carrey look like a complete and utter asshole, and people didn't want that. They didn't want to put that image of him out there. Because
those were the heights of his powers, too.
After Dumb and Dumber and all that
in
stuff.
The 90s
and
stuff,
yeah. Exactly. They didn't want to put that out there because they didn't want to break who Jim Carrey was, because, you know, for them, Jim Carrey was a moneymaker. So, that's the reason they didn't do it, and ended up releasing it. Now they do interviews with him now, like just recently, 2017, and they do all the stuff. They have all the stuff from the back.
Okay,
and he just invoked them. He completely says that he invokes them, Andy Kaufman in the movie, and so he's like, I wasn't even like, I was aware that things were happening. Like, this is the way he says it. Is that? But he's like, it just happened because Andy was leading me. I wasn't, like, it wasn't me anymore. It was really, really weird, really artsy, if you want to look at it, right?
I'm curious as to, well, I mean, how did the documentary work for you?
The documentary was cool. So I saw the documentary first before I saw the movie, right? Man on the Moon. And it was cool watching it because you got to enjoy watching Jim Carrey play Andy Kaufman in the movie. And, like, what they churned out to what he was in the on set and everything else, that director, kudos. And by the way, the director is the guy who did One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Milos Forman?
Yes.
Milos
Forman. Yeah, and actually in one of the scenes, and like, I guess spoiler or whatever, but one of the scenes, he calls Jim Carrey. Like Jim Carrey is talking about reference. Like he called me, and he goes, and he was talking to, like, can I talk to Jim? And it was still Andy, like at home or whatever, right? And he's like, no, it was Jim. It was Jim. And he's like, do you want Jim back, or do you want me to be Andy, right? And he's like, no, stay as Andy, even though he really hated dealing with him because he was just a pain.
Yeah,
because he was like Andy Kaufman would be in normal.
Okay,
normally, and that's it was weird. Really like he's like, no, I need you sadly like to be like that because it fits, like it works better this way.
Yeah, and no one had ever heard of method acting before. Is that how it works?
No, I guess I don't know.
Maybe it wasn't as popular.
Maybe it wasn't as popular. Yeah, but it was just an interesting scene.
It was. I really want to see it.
It was a really cool documentary. Yeah. And the movie was fine too. I don't know if I would. I think the documentary worked better for me because I didn't know that much about Andy Kaufman. And the movie and the documentary, they go a lot. Like,
had you seen the movie first, would you be saying the opposite?
No, because I would have been watching the movie and I would have been like, oh, that would have made more sense to me, I guess.
Okay.
I would have maybe appreciated it a little bit. I would have looked at it differently.
Okay.
But
okay.
I would have been more confused in the movie had I not known who Andy Kaufman and all that stuff was.
Right. Yeah, okay.
So that kind of helped
me. Maybe I'll do the same and watch the doc
first. Kind of helped me out a little bit.
Okay.
So overall, I liked it. I liked the documentary more than the movie.
I mean, there are two things that Luke likes, biopic and a documentary.
And he hasn't seen both?
Either.
I'm peaked.
Right? No, I'm peaked too. I've always avoided because I never
he's
like...
He's peaked enough to say that he's peaked.
Yeah, that's pretty rare. He never says that. That's cool. That's your Jim and Andy and the full title of all that.
Yeah,
et cetera.
And Man in the Moon. Right, I have to say et cetera. Yeah. Turns out that you actually have something.
Yeah, I did actually watch two movies. I did actually finally get a chance to watch Spider-Man Homecoming.
Spider-Man. Is he like because, the mensch Spider-Man? Yeah.
Because since I was in Alaska, I never saw it.
Tickle of Florida.
Spider-Mench.
Spider-Mench.
How did you not go with that?
I didn't think of that.
Anyway, the copy I had someone bootlegged for me in Alaska was horrible, so I didn't even watch the first 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
It was too dark and like it was like askew.
And there's that opening with him using a web his phone cam, too, so it looks extra bad.
Yeah, extra I got it was horrible. Anyway, bad so I finally that. Watched
of
it.
The roots.
Sat down, yeah. Whole thing. Okay.
Oh, just okay?
I didn't like it as much as the other Marvel movies.
You mean in general or this year? Or
in general, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm surprised. Yeah. Ralph and I, we really dug it, right?
I mean, it's not a bad movie, you know.
No, but we really dug it, though. Like, liked it more than usual.
Oh, okay.
That's my understanding. My point of view, no?
Wasn't I think so.
Our sure. History, from what I remember.
I mean, it's still better than Iron Man 3.
I think these cookies are better than Iron Man 3.
Yeah, but it was cool. I mean, I like how they just kind of more focused on the high school thing. You know, they didn't really, you know, do the whole origin story because it's kind of been beaten to death.
It's like the Pearls with the fucking Batman's parents, man.
Yes.
Crime Alley.
Sorry. That movie's making my top 10 this year. It has to.
There's no way it's not.
It has to.
What movie?
The Lego Batman movie.
Lego Batman.
I still haven't seen that.
Watch it now, man.
It's I own it.
I own it on iTunes.
Okay, so really? I want to see that. Even though I've seen it on HBO already, like literally last week. But yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. You were saying.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
Okay, so what was like a letdown about it? Like in what way?
I don't...
Just curiosity. Everyone's seen it.
How about he doesn't give you a review about it?
At this point, it's like,
but yeah,
with like Thor Ragnarok and everything, like that
Ragnarok.
That just like set a whole new level of like that kind of comedy should have probably been in this movie because I think Spider-Man would have been more, you know, slapsticky. I think.
I mean, I don't think he's that. I see your point. He can be. He's probably the closest.
Yeah.
To do it. Yeah. But they made Thor work somehow.
Yeah. So, you know, when there's a sequel, I'll still watch the hell out of it. I own this movie, so, you know, hey.
That's funny. I thought more about it. I don't even own it.
Well, or a copy of it. It's really. On my iTunes. Feel free.
I know. That's why we should just share iTunes. Yeah. It's great. Anyway, so what's the next movie you saw?
I finally saw Atomic Blonde as well.
Oh, man.
What did you think of this one?
I'm worried about this one.
Let's talk about this one.
You're worried about this one?
I'm worried what you think.
Oh, okay.
What do you think?
See, I don't know what you guys thought of it.
Never heard our review?
I didn't want to listen to it because it would...
It might spoil.
Right. Yeah, but I really liked it.
Oh, it's good.
Oh, my God. I love the aesthetic, the music, everything. Even that little twist at the end, I was like, what?
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You're not bullshitting. You're not going to
return
it. No. Because that's what you do.
Although, man, Professor X was in the East Berlin. Man, that guy had a life before X-Men. Oh, James McAvoy.
Yeah, James McAvoy.
That's right. He's bending around that time, too.
It's kind of funny.
McAvoy's old. You know, McAvoy has like three crazy movies he's in this year. One is Split.
Yeah.
This one. And I
still
forgot the
other
one.
I still haven't
seen Split. Oh, man. Treat yourself.
I don't know.
I mean, that's not like... don't take it seriously, but take it fun. And you'll love it. It's a treat. Okay. It's like cookies. I really like it.
You really want to pawn these cookies.
Yeah, really,
like,
you know,
okay, so
recording.
So he did Split. He did this, and what else was the third one?
I forgot the third one, but I know there's a third one. Okay. I just don't remember.
Yeah, but yeah, I really liked it. And man, Charlize Theron,
bro,
how old is she? Because
40 plus.
Damn,
looking fucking good,
right?
Looking,
damn,
right?
Yeah, and she was kicking ass.
Good for her for growing hair again.
Yeah, but I love some of like the one standout action thing is like. That I really dug was when the guy busts through the door and she shoots him in the head and you see her like it pans from her to him and the splatter on the wall, but then it pans back and she's already like behind another door.
Yeah,
it's like whoa, like you didn't have to see that her thing. It was just
I love that whole hallway scene. That was just so cool,
dude. It was nuts.
Thanks, Leo. You're giving me dinosaurs.
Anyways, so yeah, I'm glad I finally saw it.
Cool.
And I own it.
I'm glad you at least like one and then love the other. It's great.
I thought you were going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you at least liked one. That's it. And just walked away.
Just drop the mic.
Yeah, just drop the mic.
Yeah, that's going to work.
Yeah, they're both good. You know,
but there's no visual medium to it.
Okay, Charlize Theron is 42.
Although I'm rocking this kick-ass fucking, apparently girl's jacket, but I like it.
It's black and purple, dude. And it's Buffy.
It's Blurple.
Blurple.
Okay.
All right.
So. Okay,
very cool. Yeah. That is it for what we've been watching. Real quick, before we get into our first review, let's talk about bonus shows, guys. This month, our bonus episode will be for the month of December.
Any given Sunday? There?
No.
Oh.
The Shape of Water.
Oh, that's right. That
Guillermo del Toro's film.
Oh, I thought it was Benicio del Toro. Those guys got to change their name.
There's a lot of
one of them
a lot
has
of bulls going on. Well, yeah, I don't know who I want. Actually, they're both.
Or
really
they can never work together.
Oh my God! Would the world implode?
I think so.
Who's going to watch The Shape of Water with me and review it for the bonus? I mean, who wants to see it? It's a Guillermo del Toro movie. I
always want to watch a Guillermo del Toro movie.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
It's just hard.
Looks like he just ripped off Bioshock.
I haven't...
He would be the perfect director for Bioshock,
don't know,
right?
Oh, he would have made a killer Bioshock.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this movie, but he said Bioshock, and now I have this one image in my head.
No, it's not like Bioshock at all. It's just that it looks like it.
Yeah, the aesthetic.
Okay, aesthetics. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like literally like tank that just looks like the tubes in the game. It looks perfect. Yeah, it's just like it.
It's like they've used that, like they had the set image for the Bioshock movie, and they're like, hey, let's just move it over to this
one. Right, let's make it reality. It's really cool looking. And I hear it's fantastic, so I want to see it. So Shape of Water is our bonus episode. In our current episode, our bonus is coming out this month for free. I mean, as wide release.
Because you didn't cough up to $3. Yeah,
right.
Chief fucks.
5 months ago, you should say. It's Spider-Man Homecoming, Ralph. Our review of that is going to come out on the 15th of this month.
Hey, yo, it's Spidey.
So check out our website, otherpodcast.com, for that.
That's the other one.
A little marathon update in 2018. We don't know when exactly. I'm thinking February.
We're going to run the Chicago Marathon.
We're going to run the Chicago Marathon. No, Raph and I are going to do a classics marathon. We're going to see some classic films, guys. Yeah. We're going to see the OGs of movies that were eventually remade into other things, you know, today or in recent time.
Oh,
I think what should our cap be, like 70s, 60s?
I don't know.
Like, no higher than that, right?
Maybe. I mean, classics are like...
I would say talkies.
95 and higher for me.
Yeah, I know it is.
Classics are 95
and lower.
Higher.
And lower, I mean.
And lower, yeah. I know what you meant. Don't worry. I know what you meant.
And higher.
And higher. Anyway, we haven't decided yet, but that's going to be our marathon. It's going to be definitely in the classics range.
So which was the classic? Armageddon or Deep Impact?
Oh, my God. It's like 98, though.
Sorry, so that is like 98. Cut. Yeah,
so
you're right.
Cut.
Couple years.
And our last thing here, my last announcement, is our top 10 shows. We're going to do 3 this year, not 4.
I thought it was 6.
No. You can think of others, sure.
I thought it was top... Why, I thought one of them was
top 10 Pop-Tarts.
One of them was a top 5, but
okay,
I just
call
it.
No. Our top shows.
Countdown shows. Yeah. Countdown shows. Sure. We're doing a top 10 films, of course.
Of course.
We're doing top 10 TV shows.
Yes.
Which we did last year. And then top 10 discoveries.
Top 5.
Which we do every year.
I thought we were doing 5 discoveries.
No, we always do 10.
I thought we always did 5.
Nope. The last 2 times we did 10.
I don't remember
that. The time before that we did 5.
I just work here.
That's the one I remember. I just work here.
I mean, well, I assume you'll be gone by then, right? Aren't you going again?
Can you take me higher?
Possibly.
Possibly. It's not for sure.
I'll definitely be leaving.
It'll be definitely
in the month of December.
Look, for the movies, if you're around, you're doing the movies with us. If you're, I always say that you never watch enough TV, so I won't ask you for that. Discoveries, you should be able to do. You read and watch a lot of stuff, so you should be able to do them too. You
doesn't mean it's all good.
You discovered the.
It means you can make a top 10.
The very north state of the United States.
I discovered Alaska, and it sucked.
Oh, yeah. Does that count?
I mean, it's a discovery.
What's the other one place? What's the other?
Colorado, Puerto Rico.
What's the name of the town?
Nah, don't worry about it.
Wait, you can't say the name of the town?
I'm not saying it.
Wait, doesn't it's not like just a hit
Boulder.
Town.
It was Boulder.
It's a it's Area 51, Colorado. That's the
yep,
whole name.
That's the exact that's the name of it. Yep. I hope someone flies.
If I was in Boulder, it'd be a bunch more.
Trust me, guys, audience members. If I knew the name of the town, I would say it right now. I just don't remember.
Yeah.
So that's what's coming up next. After our next show, which will be a regular show, we're going to be releasing these top 10, and we're going to take a break from reviewing new films.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. So let's get into our first review, Ralph.
I don't have
shall it. We? With a little movie called The Nile Hilton Incident.
أنا شفت بنتي دي في حتة قبل كده. بنتي دي شبه البنت المغنية.
أي حد طلب مانجا و
طبعا يا ابني تعال تعال
حضرتك تعرف الست دي
انت قلت لي اسمك ايه
انسى قضيت لي قلت بجيب حفاظها على اعتبار انها انتحار
انتحار ايه هي ذبحت نفسها
ده هو وابن الرئيس كده
بات هي كام مليون كيلو
مليون عقر جنيه
حلوه
تيجي كيف كبوات.
Set against the backdrop of the Egyptian Revolution, the thriller features a police officer who investigates the murder of a woman. What initially seems to be a killing of a prostitute turns into a more complicated case involving the very elite of Egypt. This is set in 2011, I think, if I remember correctly, right? 2011.
Yes.
2011, yeah. Yes. That's the revolution they're talking about, not like Pharaohs.
There's a really great Netflix documentary called The Square, if you want to know more information about that.
I totally was going to watch that eventually.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie.
This is directed and written by Tariq Saleh, if I said that wrong, I'm sorry. Starring Fares Fares, but we're going to call him Fair Fares. Or totally. Fair Fares, Fares Fares.
You know his girlfriend calls him, hey, Fair Fair Cute.
There's no way she
come
doesn't.
On, she totally
There's
does.
No way.
She
or boyfriend. We don't.
Or boyfriend. Yeah, totally. Don't know. Never assume. Yep.
Also, Marie Malek. Yasser Ali Maher and Ahmed Salim.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll still leave it at that.
All right, cool. So
this is a crime drama thriller. I would say a noir, crime noir for sure.
Crime noir, yeah, for
crime
sure.
Crime noir fits fine. This is my pick, and we're gonna go with the most pessimistic view here. Luke, what did you think of this movie?
Wow, where did drop that hat on me?
Well, listen, this is what happened.
We're the only two wearing a hat.
We're here. The only ones. Yeah, actually, that is true.
Let's drop our hats off. I can't do it. My headphones are on.
I know.
Yeah, I did not care for the movie.
I hear it.
Yeah.
I hope you hear him. He's talking into a microphone.
Man, it's a colloquialism.
You didn't care for the movie, but why not? What did you think? Where did it? Not, don't say the beginning of the movie. Where did it? Why did you not like it? Let's go with that. I'm nice. Not gonna say where did
first,
it.
It's very fucking slow.
Okay. Mm.
Like honestly, I don't need to watch 20 minutes of rain dripping into a goddamn half cut, you know, 2 liter bottle.
You make it. Oh my god! It was like 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Such a little bitch. Okay.
It's so
I was wondering
slow.
What he was talking about.
You have this
that's
awesome.
The fuck he kept over sleeping.
Okay, shut up. I'm talking here, okay?
Okay.
You have this like awesome backdrop of this like revolution about to start, and they kind of just throw it in there just to, you know, build up like, you know, steam for the movie where it should be the other way around.
Oh, so you like the background of it?
That was like the only bearable part. I'm like, come on, let's see some rioting. And when that happens, it's like, oh, okay, we're just going to shoot at him for 3 seconds and bam, call it a day. Riot's over, guys.
So it was like too little, too late kind of thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then it feels like this whoever director is just watched every like film noir movie and it's like copied, they all do this, so let's do this. And I'm going to put it in my movie because everyone else has done it.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know he was going to get, you know, photograph of fucking the singer. Boy, didn't see that one coming, guys.
Yeah.
Left field right there, guys. Watch out.
I won't lie. It's full of those cliches.
Yeah, it's cliched
it
up
those,
the
You totally didn't have to move.
And the thing is that Luke is not even, I mean, are you even a film noir expert? Do you watch a lot of those? You know all the fucking trappings.
I just think he saw LA Confidential twice.
Right, just twice, and that's all you need. By the way, that movie has every single cliche in there.
But it works so goddamn good.
Yeah, because the mechanics make you entertaining, keep you guessing all the way.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like, we should,
and they talk properly.
No, well, this movie's dubbed over.
Just the Tigers.
Okay. We saw this movie. So it's the main English. The main language they speak here is Arabic, and there was one I couldn't even know existed.
We saw it one of dubbed the in French.
Yeah, Dinka.
We saw it dubbed in French. Yeah,
But we saw it. Yeah, so it was dubbed over in French. So I don't know what was lost in translation. And the subtitles they were English too, guys. So really, we got two fuck ups here in the translations. So I don't know what we lost in the nuance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That can happen, guys.
The story.
Nice. No, I mean, I would say the biggest problem is too much plot.
Yeah. Okay. So Oscar, let's go with you.
So I don't think it's as boring as Luke says, but it is a very classically made film noir. I will say though, for the way it's presented and it's more important that Egypt has a film noir that I've seen. Not me personally because I'm important, but me personally because it came out in the United States and is semi-popular versus other films I'm sure would never get anywhere here.
Yeah.
I think that's more important. I just wish this movie was better to reflect that.
Yeah.
But it is nice to see that they are making competent movies of those genres in over there as much as we do here. But it is very similar to the movies we have here.
It is, yes.
It is almost every single problem that they have, even the backdrop. Like, yeah, they speak in a different language. They look differently. The buildings look more, shabby or drabby, whatever the word is. But, I was thinking watching this movie, all the big world problems the movie has, like in their world, and all the small problems with the case, we have those movies exactly right. We have the same thing. We have these movies full of corruption. We have the same corruption. We just hide it better.
Yeah.
Like, our job is to make sure to. It looks like we don't have corruption, but we have the same, if not worse.
Sure.
So, like, you know, yeah. This movie reflects.
Yeah, I would say I agree with you. I agree with both you guys in points wise. A little bit less, Luke. I'm not as pessimistic or as not as hard on the movie.
Okay, well, you picked the movie, so
the only
defended.
Thing they should have done is like put it in black and white. Then that would have really cut.
That's true. That's the only thing in
very
missing.
True. Yeah,
make it a little the artist touch.
Yeah, Sin City it up. Just add some color.
I do like the cinematography of it, though. I do like the
of this movie or of the artist.
This one.
Okay, good. I fucking hate the artist.
Yeah,
sorry.
You loved that movie.
Yeah, that's your favorite movie. Nope. You thought it should have won the Oscar.
And it did win the Oscar.
I know. That's why
you were so happy with that.
No, I wasn't. Shut
all right,
up.
That being said, I do agree. I thought it could have done more, and it could have talked about more about the revolution, or started more with that, or just intermingle it somehow a little bit better. But at the same time, for what he's trying to do, make a film noir, that's what he stuck to. He stuck to the genre. He stuck to being that.
Yeah.
In the end, that was just something going on in the background, and like a film noir movie, or like a kind of thriller or whatever, something's always going on in the background, and it eventually hits us, right? It catches up to us or something, whatever, that is being said throughout the movie, and then it eventually catches up to us because, eventually it just happens. Like, it's right outside his window at one point.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, legit, he wakes up, and it's right outside his window.
I think they sleep in the cop station.
Who?
He does.
Yeah, that was
weird. They do? They have, like...
Yeah, it's really weird. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do like that. I felt like the movie was portraying how Egypt is for them. And I didn't find it abnormal. I didn't find it, what's it called? Or Cairo specifically, I guess.
Yeah,
right. And I didn't find that it was, what's it called? Oh, like that's a dramatization of it. I felt like that's probably real as fuck. Like, or as real as it could be. Like when you see it in art and I guess when you see it for us in like a type of movie like that, like in LA Confidential, it doesn't feel real. Like, it doesn't feel as real.
Definitely. Yeah.
So that's there's a big Hollywoodization of it, right?
Right.
In comparison to this one felt a little bit more realistic to what their world is in. The movie starts with him driving by and taking bribes from everybody.
Dude, like this on the street.
Like on the street.
The anti-Santa Claus.
Everybody knows it. Like, everybody knows it. And everybody owes him. Like, cause it's
some
like
people are
it's
asking for extensions.
It's like the mob. It's like the mob was asking for protection. Only
the legal mob.
Like that Don was it Don Chicho from Godfather 2, who's just walking down the street, vendor to vendor, collecting his...
Well, and I love how even amongst cops... they didn't, there was no honor.
Dude, his sergeant was telling him, this is the best way, you can have this block for the bribes and stuff. And they were complaining about it. There was a scene where they talk about
There's a scene where he's in a different district.
They're gangs, essentially.
Exactly. He's in a different district, and he has to pay, he has to help pay, what's it called? He has to pay off the cop there to get his person.
Oh, right.
Like, and you're just like, what the fuck? Like,
it's like gangs in New York. The different firefighter companies.
Oh my god! Yeah,
fighting each other, and the house just burned.
That's a good pull.
Deep cut, bro. Yeah.
We've been talking a lot about Fire.
You even mentioned it in New York.
To you.
Two coats.
I love that movie. I saw it the other day again. It's on Netflix.
It's on TV all the time, and I always tell him that. I saw this scene. Like,
yeah, it's such a great. You just can watch anything.
Yeah. So, any other good things or any other things that you guys found interesting that the movie did?
Yeah.
Oh, no, there's no answer for that.
Oh, yeah, nothing good, huh?
Well, you look like nothing good.
Okay, I don't want to say like exemplary, but it's competent to good. Is the acting I liked a lot, and none of it deferred or deterred me in any way. Well, and
how can you judge the acting? There wasn't them speaking.
That's true. Well, I don't know. Maybe for all I know, if I was from Karen, I watched this movie.
If that guy doesn't have cancer, he will after this movie. That guy smokes so much,
and you know maybe that's why. And they can't afford fake cigarettes, guys. Yeah, here's
the thing. Maybe that's why the whole film was yellow because had that like yellowy tint to it because all the smoke.
There's a lot of smoking. You're right. Just like a film noir
everywhere. Yeah, just like a film noir. Yeah. But it's everywhere. Like at all moments, he goes in the bathroom. I just finished pissing. Gotta light up a cigarette.
For example, like
every scene.
Oh, I just finished a cigarette. Gotta light up a cigarette.
I was thinking throughout the whole movie, and again, this could be something just me being ignorant to the place and the time that they're in because I'm just not from there. Is that what was the significance of making it a period film of only 5 years?
Yeah, I don't know.
I was trying to think, like, okay, maybe the corruption really did stop after this revolution. It wasn't as bad as this, and they want to reflect that. Okay. Or or it could just be about the very ending, which we won't spoil yet, which the only time that the mob of people and protesters does make a difference to the ending of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it's just for that, it's weird. Or is it just like the favorite time? Or is it just a way to make more money on the movie, capitalize it to say, like, hey, this is based on the very famous, world-famous the Tahrir Square rebellion protesting thing we had, which was in all the news back in 2011. Maybe it's like capitalizing on that so it can make more money or make more people watch it. It could be anything, but I just don't know what.
I thought it was kind of just subliminal, kind of like, hey, check this out, you know? This is what happened.
Or like being so corrupt got you this?
It's being like, you know, kind of steering people's direction. It's like, hey, you probably don't know what was really going on.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
their interest.
I hear you. And I thought that, so when the movie was starting, I didn't know what the incident would be. I didn't think it would be that. It felt like a little lackluster than I thought it would be. I really didn't think the maid saw anything.
Yeah. That was very
weird. Yeah, when she explained it later on,
it felt, there was no bump drop.
Okay, I got that. But I didn't see you do that.
Yeah.
I didn't see you see that guy. Yeah. I saw you saw a figure, but not that guy.
Right.
You know, I saw the scene, you know. She reacted fast. It was cool how she got out of it. But yeah, it looked shady from the beginning. And once it was like, oh, dead girl, dead hot, beautiful girl. And was there a raining scene? I feel like there was a raining scene, but maybe there wasn't. That's another classic noir thing. You know, but once a certain other character that he finds later on dies also, not mysteriously, but out of nowhere right after him, I was like, okay, this is all just noir hitting points.
Yeah.
But it was a solid, though. It was normal noir, but I've just seen so many.
Yeah,
if this is my first noir, I'd be like, yeah.
Saw so many good ones.
Yeah, I saw like a lot of great ones already. So, anything else to add?
No, I mean, besides getting into spoilers for ending the movie, might as well get in it now.
Spoilers for the Niall Hilton incident starting right now.
Ich höre Sie.
Befehl vom Ministerium. Feuer eröffnen.
Ist gut, Effendi. Der Befehl lautet, Feuer eröffnen.
Auf wen Feuer eröffnen?
Jetzt schieß endlich, Josef. Na los!
You know, for Hilton, they didn't look all that great.
Everybody bribes cops in this movie. Like, everybody. The Hilton, the
cops bribe themselves.
Cops bribe themselves. They steal from everybody. Oh, that person's dead? Let me take their money. Yeah. That's...
Yeah.
The guy ordered room service. Room service. And at the burger scene. And then he charged the room.
Oh, that's right. When they're at the...
Yeah.
Yeah, anything
free
to
food.
Anything for yeah, anything like a handout of
Dude,
any sort,
man. It's like they're doing them the favor. Like that's how they look at it.
The movie glorifies and only you get a promotion the more you like extort from people, because like that captain had games and gigs that could never reach the main characters.
Oh yeah, I mean, he even told them like, "Hey, keep it on the down low, because if they get a sniff of this money, they'll want a cut of it too."
Right. When he's talking about the state guys, and then when he's talking about like the scam he had with the photographer, which is why he had to get him killed and you know tie all these loose ends, like, bro, like when's enough, bro? I mean, just anything for money. Like we got the money. What's the problem? When he let the guy go,
yeah.
I'm like, what's the problem? He keeps saying it over like that's all he can think about. That's his only answer to everything.
Yeah.
It's like, no wonder he's captain or chief of sergeant, whatever.
I am the captain now.
He is the captain now. Yeah. Also, you know, the Sudanese thing, you know, which is obviously their big immigration problem, at least in that city at that time. You know, reminds of us here, because we have the same thing here. And there are movies that do exactly the same thing, right?
So, yeah.
So what did you want to say, Rafa, and spoilers that you want to touch on more?
No, I guess I kind of want to get to the ending. What did you... My question for the ending was... Do you think the movie lingers on the fact that it's we hope that this helps, like this ends up ending the way the cops work, right? Because it kind of ends with like the revolution, right, and all that stuff going on, and we know it's coming, something's coming where everybody hates the cops because everybody's got to pay them off and stuff like that.
Right.
But the movie ends also with like a lot of them falling, like a lot of the big key things like falling out. But it ends with like a cop wanting to do his job and someone changing, I guess, sort of, but not really. Like, I don't know where the movie, what the movie in the end is trying to say besides it, that it's finished. I know it wanted to feel like it wanted to say something, but I just don't know what it wanted to say.
I'm confused too.
Yeah.
Because, it ends with, I mean, the protesters
beat him
up, him from killing the movie's villain. Right?
Yeah. After all that shit.
So I'm not saying that they clearly there's no heroic or satisfying ending that the director wants us to feel, because it's all like all bad. Everyone's a bad person. There's no good person in this movie.
Yeah.
Except for the poor maid, who gets off. That's cool.
Even then, she wanted to extort.
Well,
yeah.
She lost like two friends.
That's true. No, but that's after it was like forced upon her and shit, kind of. Like, I don't think she would have wanted to, even if she had a choice.
No, she didn't want to begin with, but she wanted to.
And you know, it's like she fired herself when the guy approached her, like, yeah, we're missing money from the room. Like, okay, you're just going to fire me. I didn't do anything, but it's going to go there, so I'm just going to go. Basically, she just like doesn't say anything.
She just walked up
and just leaves. That's really cool. I mean, terrible, but cool way to react.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what it means. And it feels like it's supposed to be a bummer of an ending. I just don't really understand it.
Yeah,
what the movie starts.
Well, because usually in a and I would say I'm breaking it up for the genre in a film noir, it ends with like usually ends in a bummer also or something a realization of something, right?
Yeah.
Of like, oh well, maybe things will happen. Something
like it was her all the time.
Yeah, exactly. A light at the end of the tunnel, or like, fuck, this person got away with it, or something along that nature.
In this Cairo town,
right? Exactly, it's Cairo town. Well, in this one, it just ends like it just ends, and I don't feel like it ends with like it's saying that there's hope that something happened. It just ends. It doesn't feel. I don't feel anything. That ending didn't get me in a traditional film noir.
Yeah, me either. And I have a bigger problem, guys. What is this guy's motivation to be to give a shit suddenly?
Yeah, I didn't get that either.
I didn't get that at all.
It's like, she was a nice piece of ass.
No, but he had his motivation before that. He had the gates reopened. I mean, he didn't actually get the whatever, but he asked and he got it reopened.
Was it that thing with his father?
I don't know if there's something lost in translation.
That
here?
Dignity thing speech.
He didn't give a shit about dignity before.
No, he didn't. No,
it just seems weird, right?
Yeah, and there's this weird. I don't.
The case is too juicy to let go. Is that what it is?
I don't know what
Could
it was.
He just be bored all day and just wants
it's
to
a
do something.
Bigger payoff in this case.
Maybe more extort.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know if there's something lost in translation right. for us, but there is. I don't know if he's.
He mentions his wife got
he's
killed.
He's just
right?
tired.
Yeah.
Like, he just didn't give a fuck anymore, and maybe he wants to give a fuck for one case, even if it's one case he can hold up to in his mind.
Like, I get him giving a fuck after they killed the singer who was sleeping with.
Yes, yeah.
That makes sense.
I care that one. But
because he does seem like a lonely guy.
Sure, yeah. You know?
Gotta get that dick wet.
Right, and yeah, exactly. And she was beautiful.
A piece of ass.
I like her. What was her thing about Realize? What was as a response to them hooking up again? Realize?
I don't know.
I don't know. Realize that's futile. That's,
I guess.
Realize that I'm going to die next day and this is my last lay or something. I don't know. But yeah, so I get the motivation after that. I just didn't get it before. And I feel like the movie didn't do a good enough job about this man. Because we only see this man, this guy, we never say his name, police commander, something. Way to not put his name on here, guys.
Yeah.
Well, like three scenes?
Nordin. Huh? I mean, we don't see much. We see a little bit of his home life, but we only see him in the context of his job, and I don't think we see a whole lot about him as a person. We just see what an asshole corrupt.
The only thing we can tell is that he just doesn't care, but he still upholds some traditions or some values of something. Like he needs to take care of his dad because it's his dad.
Yeah.
Like he still values that much stuff like that. He values the help of whatever his uncle gives him, right, and things of that nature. But other than that, there's nothing else really there. We're just here hoping or being led that he got what's it called, that he never give a fuck or he doesn't give a fuck and he wants to give a fuck suddenly.
Yeah,
okay. I mean that's a telltale thing in a noir film, noir movie also.
Well, usually a reason.
Yeah, but that's the same.
Yeah.
But there's no reason in this. It doesn't. Well, I didn't see one anyway.
I didn't see one.
And that is a big problem.
Anything else you want
to know? But like I said, that could have been lost in translation.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that was missing was that thing where he's sitting at his desk and, you know, just running outside and she comes in and tells him about the case and he's in love with her, so he takes it.
I don't think.
It's like the only thing they missed on.
He's not a private eye, bro.
If he was, that would have been it.
He needed to be a private eye. It would have worked a lot better.
You
need a
dame that says, like, I think my husband's cheating on me again. I need you to find out some information. Yep. And it's like the beginning of BioShock. What?
That's all the juice starts.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Anything else, Rob, on your part?
No, that's it. I mean, good for them for making something that came out, went to France, went to this, went like that. Egypt-wise, like you said earlier.
But, yeah.
But other than that, I mean, yeah. I mean, it was an okay movie at best.
Yeah. It's an okay movie. If you want to watch it, I mean, a lot of people love those crime
movies. I've seen better, I've seen worse.
Yes, definitely. Exactly, right down the middle. So that's the Niall Hilton incident. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we shall delve into Pixar's latest film, Coco.
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 Stay with us,
folks. Coco. No, I'm offering, guys. You guys want Coco?
Oh, we'll love some Coco.
So would I.
Thank you.
Never underestimate the power of music. No one was going to hand me my future. It was up to me to reach for my dream, grab it tight, and make it come true.
All right, who's in there?
I'm sorry. What's going on? I'm just dreaming. Stay with me, boy. We don't know where we are. This isn't a dream, then. You're all really out there.
Aspiring musician Miguel, confronted with his family's ancestral ban on music, enters the land of the dead to find his great-great-grandfather, a legendary singer.
They don't mention the singer by name. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they leave it be. That's one of the things. Okay. There's another one that's really long that explains a lot more in IMDb. This is Coco, the 2017 Pixar movie.
You gotta say it right. You gotta say Coco.
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 Coco. Coco.
Coco.
Coco.
Coco.
Coco.
All right. Anyways.
Coco.
This is, you ready? I'm gonna give you guys actors. All right. Oh, the director is Lee Unkrich and Adrian Molina, co-director.
Yeah, he came in, I think, halfway through the project, I heard.
Or something like that, yeah. Anthony Gonzalez has played Miguel. The little kid plays Miguel.
Oh, yeah.
Gael Garcia Bernal is Hector.
Famous fucking actor.
That's why I said it like that. Benjamin Bratt is Ernesto de la Cruz.
Why would you say his name that way?
Bratt.
You don't like Benjamin Bratt?
I just don't like that word, Bratt.
It's a terrible last name, but yeah, otherwise, really like, he's a good actor.
Yeah, Alana Ubak is Mama Imelda. Renee Victor is Abuelita. Jaime Camille is Papa. Which
right, people don't have names. And to the kid's perspective, that's exactly what those names are.
Exactly.
Their names is Abuelita and Papa.
Yeah. And then Gabriel Iglesias is in this. He's a clerk.
Really?
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course he is, exactly.
That's like all right, the Mexican so stamp of approval.
Coco. So one of us is more recent on this than the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Luke. And so I will go with unrecency bias, and I will throw it to Oscar. Oscar.
Unrecency bias?
Yes, unrecency bias.
I hear you.
What did you think of Coco?
I totally liked it. I did like it a lot.
Okay.
It's
cool. It has, Luke, what did you think?
No, it's fine. if you just want to know the one word answer. So, I really dug this movie. It's I feel like the response is coming from it now that we're 2 weeks out, right? From the release, because it came out. Our last show is when that weekend it came out, right?
Yeah, so
it was 2 weeks ago. The stuff I read on Twitter and some on podcasts. I'm glad though. There's some of these podcasts that do like they're more famous for doing reviews than like us. They bring in like Hispanic critics.
Yeah.
Like for this reason, it's kind of cool to put the context in.
Well, you guys are Hispanic, so
yeah, for sure.
And you're kind of a critic.
Yeah, I mean, kind very of very loosely. Kind of is fine enough for me.
We criticize things.
Yeah, very loosely.
Yeah.
So loose.
We hold on loosely,
like your mom, right?
You brought out your mom joke in this?
It's just too easy.
How old are we?
It was too easy.
I didn't know we were still living in the 90s.
Yeah. Was that 90s?
I mean, for me it was.
Yeah. Okay, let's go back into this.
I mean, Oscar had your mom jokes in like the 17th century, so.
At least. How old does that make Rob? He's my brother.
I was just born.
Who's your age? Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I really dug, the attention to detail in this movie is really good. And I was really surprised as how much they did it. And the inventiveness of the world building, some of it does fall flat for me, but it all is very interesting. And I want to ask like interesting questions about it that really don't relate to the story that much. But like there are some funny things that don't really make sense. But I get that they're just making
that's right. No,
to
no,
make
no.
the world
yeah, yeah, no. I remember when we got out of when we talked about the movie like the next day, all you were talking about was like the world and everything else. But the actual movie, like right. You were just like, I just want to know more about the world. How does this work? Why is this there?
Right. I'm going to go through them.
Like, I get that, but
guys, this is worth waiting for spoilers because I'm going to talk about it when we get to spoilers.
Sure.
So, but I really dug it. The feels for the movie at there's just two big pivotal points, and I fell for it.
Okay.
The only bad thing about it is that the movie was exceedingly very predictable for me.
Okay.
I predicted every single step.
Okay.
But otherwise, yeah, I totally dig it.
Cool. Now on moving to recency bias. Lucas, what did you think of this movie?
So recent, I haven't even finished watching it because someone pulled the fire alarm at the theater.
Yeah. There are pictures. Check Twitter.
Yeah. They were not going to be on Twitter. But yeah, I think it was like the last 5 minutes, but you kind of filled me in. Yeah. But yeah, I really liked it. I really dug this film. I love like the dark. This is like I think Pixar's darkest movie.
Yeah, I guess
aside
so.
Aside from maybe Toy Story, where they're trying to all
he said Pixar. Oh, except for Toy Story 3.
I wasn't saying. But did he say Pixar? I was like
Pixar. The dark themes of death and like second death.
It is like, themed like that.
God, I love it.
I don't know. I mean, in The Incredibles, when you find out that we're killing a lot of superheroes, I mean.
Well, it's still very lightly.
Okay. I'm with you there.
Yeah. But yeah. Loved it. Really good movie.
Cool.
I mean, yeah.
I'm glad. Wow. You.
I guess I'll be the villain in this movie. No, I'm just saying. No, of course I liked it. I saw this with my kid. And
did you feel,
right. No. I saw this with my family. And minus Oscar. And you
say mi familia.
I enjoyed it. I liked a lot of the things. I fell for the two moments like you did, Oscar, as well. I did think the movie was predictable, but at the same time, it's a key.
Oh, we'll talk about it as well.
Yeah. They're at the end.
It's I wasn't like. I mean, I don't know what else to do with it. At the same time, I did enjoy a lot about what the movie has to say overall. I think they predicted
the word?
They
foreshadowed?
No. I think they did a good job of
sequestered.
Of showing how family works in Mexican culture.
Oh, for sure.
And that's a really huge thing. I'm Mexican. And obviously... Wait,
you're Mexican?
Yeah. That Mexicans.
You know what, Rafis?
But I think you called me Rafis.
I totally did just now. Thinking about Coco in Spanish and stuff.
Yeah.
It does bring me back to...
It does a really good job of that. Yeah. And it does a really good job of just like... I don't know, just thinking, making you think a lot about family and stuff like that. And the movie's overall overall message is definitely on point, definitely great. There's a lot of other background stuff that obviously coincides with the whole thing, which is family. I think it does just a really good job.
I'm glad.
The Dia de los Muertos stuff is really interesting as well. They go into like they do justice to explain, and that's just like, you know, have someone talk about it, but actually have someone explain it to you, and then it means something. It felt like it meant something. And obviously, because that's the whole movie. The whole movie is telling you it means something. Although there's, like, two lives almost like you have. But like, other than that,
there's exactly two lives.
I don't know where else to go with besides spoilers. So I don't know.
Well, I have a question that's kind of weirdly personal. I don't know, maybe you can understand. And maybe, Luke, if you've seen... a Polish movie in the same vein, if you feel the same. We, all three of us, I believe, Luke included, we grew up knowing Spanish and Luke in Polish first, right? Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, when you watched this movie, Ralph, when you saw it in theater, this is the way I felt. Did you feel your brain clicking back into Spanish a lot? Because usually, I don't know if you had this feeling, but when you're talking to certain friends, when I talk to you guys, it's overall English. Right,
like your mindset's English.
When I talk to my parents, and then some like customers that only speak Spanish, my head and my thoughts in my head are Spanish. Does that click to you? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
And did you experience that in Coco?
Yeah, I would say yeah. I experienced my reactions were in Spanish.
Me too. Okay, I just wanted to say like that's kind of a unique feeling that very few movies that aren't obviously from Mexico itself or from some sort of Spanish-speaking country have done for me. So that's really cool. I like that part.
I was in Spanish mode the whole time. Órale, güey.
Cafeteria. That's just, for those who don't know, that's a word that both Polish and Spanish mean the same thing.
Biblioteca.
Biblioteca, also another one.
Let's keep this up, guys.
Is there a third?
I don't know. I'm sure we'll stumble upon more.
Computadora.
Yeah, but that's like everywhere, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Once computers were invented, like, what are we going to call this? Well, we're going to call it the same, guys. all right. So, I want to say the vocal performances, as far as that goes. I really didn't recognize these famous actors. Benjamin Bratt's voice, I recognize.
I didn't know any of them.
Every time I think of Benjamin Bratt, I think of him in Traffic. And he goes, he sniffs some Coke, and he's like, that's some good Coke. I always think of him.
Memorable scene.
Which is the opposite of Land of this one. But I recognize him. I didn't recognize Gal Garcia, but I'm glad they went, you know, complete genuine on it. And they did the Moana treatment. Because Moana was all except for one actor.
Yeah.
Wasn't from those fucking islands that these people... Right, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And attention to detail. And all the stuff that they were singing about. You know, the little tidbits they threw in that we have no idea about, but people from that culture know.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think this is very much like mirrors Moana for me. And I think it did good, but that was Disney, this is Pixar. I know they're both Disney, but you know what I mean.
Sure.
Disney owns everything.
Yeah, what did you think of the animation? I mean,
it's Pixar's bloody good animation.
They keep making it better every time.
Yeah, it looked really good. And did you guys get that thing in the beginning of the movie where they were like,
oh, thanking you.
Oh,
for going to
well, but explains to you like
they're always so thankful for us.
They really are, yeah. No, but did they explain, or was it that, or there was another scene somewhere else that I saw where they explained like that scene where they first show the Land of the Dead?
Yeah,
was that the beginning of the movie?
Yes,
it was.
Yeah, like
wait,
and they go into
did
it
you
like
get the frozen thing.
Oh yeah, we're gonna talk about that.
We're gonna talk about the frozen.
Don't worry,
I didn't get it.
Oh,
you didn't get it?
Lucky no. Son of lucky. Oh no, they cut it out because everyone's complaining about it. We'll talk about it.
That's the one thing I really wanted to see.
No, oh, of course the white thing. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. No. I was just how they explained how that scene.
I wish they didn't show me because I didn't know there was a shot in there. I don't know anything about this movie. I never saw a trailer.
Yeah,
I think maybe one teaser.
No, I saw nothing about this movie.
Right, so I didn't want to see that. But okay.
Yeah, although talk about settling, like because they're shoemakers, like talk about settling. Like,
I mean,
if you're not a shoemaker, you're not part of this family,
right?
Like, what man, the?
Oh, dude, no, I did love that whole thing with the tamales. He's like, oh no, I'm good. And it's like, what? No, no, you're gonna eat more.
Right. No, my mom. That's very true. Every time I come into the house or I'm exiting the house, she's, are you hungry? Are you guys hungry? Do you want something? Everything has to do with food in the beginning and ending of every interaction, yeah. And it's very true. And I make fun of her for it. But you know how self-aware I can be about it. But she just still does it, and it's a very common thing. So that's very cool. Are you turning into Zverev? Are you like, did you eat me? Well, you know, I guess, because I mean, he's too young. You control every aspect of his life.
Sure, yeah, exactly.
But yeah, anyway. Anything you want to say before the spoilery stuff?
I mean, it's kind of hard to get into it.
I mean, we mentioned how predictable it was, but did we like the main plot, like the main conflict?
Yeah,
him being stuck there and stuff and whatnot.
I felt it believable because especially when he gets into the conversations, that's a really strong message. That's a really strong thing because when he doesn't want to leave and he's trying to find the other way around it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other what's it called? Blessing, because he needs the blessing, right?
Right.
It's a strong message that he puts out to his great-great-grandmother about what he thinks is what family should be and what they have in their mind is what family is. But at the same time, it's a mix of both, right? And they both have they're both different opinions of it, right? It's almost the same thing, but like one preaches it and the other one wants to live by it. And that's kind of like the difference.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I really did enjoy it though. It wasn't something like, oh, okay, like obviously we have to be stuck here longer for this reason. It didn't feel like that.
No, yeah, I didn't feel forced. It felt like an engine of movie making.
It felt fine.
Like, yeah, it felt fine enough. Yeah. Just good enough. Like it wasn't great, but it was good enough.
Exactly.
I had this weird thing. When I went to this movie, you know, and I was introduced to Coco, who is his great grandmother. Is it two greats or just one great?
No, just one great.
One great. Right. That makes sense. If it was two greats, that's crazy old.
It's the daughter of the great great grandmother.
Right. So, great grandmother, Coco. Oh my God, perfect old lady. She looks like 50 I've seen down there. anyway, I was like, okay, and then. This is not a light spoiler only because, but you get it right away. I mean, soon that it's about the boy clearly, and we don't see a whole lot of Coco at first.
No, we don't.
We do have this whole beginning of the montage and you know part of the intro scene of the shrine thing they have. I don't call it shrine, but we have the pictures of the old family members.
Yeah, yeah.
Something with an O, Ophirius.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ofrenda. Ofrendas. Thank you.
I don't know.
I'm like Ofrendas. That's not right.
Ofrendas. I'm a white boy watching this movie. I'm like, what?
Ofrendas. I thought that he was going to meet – this doesn't happen. I thought he was going to meet Coco as a child in the Day of the Dead. And the reason I had this in my head – I know she's not dead.
Because she's dead inside.
No. That's awful. That's dark. You want to see Pixar dark? By the way, Up's first 10 minutes must be dark.
Oh, my God. Right? Well,
okay. Anyway. Yeah. So I thought that she'd be there because, you know – scientifically, like, or reality, is that when you're small and the cells of you when you're older are completely different, that you are a completely different person from the older self. So I thought he was going to find, like, a younger, different, complete different person version of Coco as a young girl. Not his age necessarily, but a young girl, like the one in the picture maybe.
Yeah.
And like, find something with her. I thought it was going to be that. I had an abstract view that obviously was immediately told, like, no, that's not going to happen. That's weird. But it was just a funny thought that I had. Because I really didn't know why this movie was named Coco until...
It didn't really hit me till the very ending of the movie.
Yeah, when they meant it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. And I was just like, oh, I'm like... Yeah. I'm like, yeah, well, that's right. That's because it's not named Coco.
Right.
It's because named Miguel. They only mentioned it like 300 times.
300,000 times. Miguel.
Only they call it Miguelito.
I thought it was Hector.
Miguelito. Angelito.
Jose. Juan.
I will say that the way they explain some of the Day of the Dead stuff, that clearly most people don't know what that is. Even us, right? Because we were born here. We don't know all the details. I didn't know some of the stuff. Ofrendas? I didn't know anything.
I didn't know either.
I knew it marginally. Like, I've seen that kind of thing. I just didn't know what they were called. Things like
that. I knew about the going to the graveyard part and
stuff.
Yeah,
I knew that. We
did that back in Poland.
And parades and the whole festival. Yeah,
exactly. Not really parades for us.
No, I guess not. Okay. I like that stuff, but some of the stuff that the way they told how it worked felt a little too expository some of the times. Like sometimes, like these kids, everyone knows how it works, but the way they talk aloud about it and explain it felt, you know, just to make the audience understand something that they themselves, like, they would never say those things. I wish they kind of kept it in the voiceover stuff, but they did some of that there, but not all of it. So I kind of, that's kind of a negative on the movie as a writing technique.
Okay. Yeah.
But let's get into spoilers, shall we? Right?
Yeah.
So we want to.
I guess. What do you guys think about the whole dropping of the? Like, there was a lot of Spanish, like the very beginning of the movie.
Oh, right.
Where if you don't know Spanish, I mean, you can kind of make it out.
Yeah, context, right?
But
was there enough?
No.
I mean, I understood it, so it wasn't a problem for me.
Well, let's think. Some of the words I was like, okay, I mean, I'm around a lot of Hispanic people.
Yeah.
So I can get most of the stuff, but I didn't catch some of it.
You know, you are ordinary. I think there's a pretty good chunk of movies that do that where you, there's not a lot, obviously, but there's a good enough amount of movies where you'll start a movie or even throughout movies, something's going on,
mm-hmm.
and this is the language that they are. They're if they're in France, they're just doing French shit, you know, and it's all in France. They're all talking in French.
They're eating baguettes and smoking.
Right. But we don't get their translations. We don't get anything until whatever our main characters or whatever. Yeah. Then we start getting a little bit more.
And not in family movies, obviously.
No,
but it does happen in movies.
Kids movies as much for sure.
For sure.
Yeah, I feel like
The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra did some of that. Like the way they didn't have to explain some of the culture stuff they visited ever.
Yeah. And they just those are it. Fictional places, though.
No, you're right. But I'm just saying. Then they have to subtitle them or explain what they.
I don't know.
No, I hear you. I can't complain because I didn't have that problem, but I can understand that if you did.
Yeah. Goddamn Disney pushing their liberal agenda on us.
The whole thing about grandmother throwing chanclas at the.
Oh, I fucking loved it. And then she's like walking. She's like, go get it.
Go get
it. Like, I died. I was like, yes, right. That is so Mexican. I loved it.
There should have been more stray dogs. I said that to Rob, and he's like, they were probably eating them. I'm like, whoa, that's dark. But
yeah, but you had only one like weird strange dog.
Like there are laws about dogs on it. If you see three or more at night on the street, don't go over there.
Yeah,
because they will gain confidence to attack you if they are hungry enough.
Yeah,
but if there's one or two, no matter what time of day, they're not gonna do anything to you.
Yeah.
But there's so many dogs down there. So many fucking dogs.
There's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. PETA's got. Their work cut off for them if they ever go down there.
Oh, dude.
They're going to freak out.
Fucking. They would not know what
to do. Oh, wait. One more thing.
Yeah.
I never heard of, like, that. What was that big, like, spirit thing that the dog eventually turned into?
Oh, your spirit guide. It was a spirit guide.
Oh, yeah. I've never heard about that.
Oh, me either, actually. I didn't know.
Well, that was the whole thing in the Land of the Dead.
Yeah.
You get a spirit guide when you get into the Land of the Dead to help you.
Do you believe in spirit guides?
Well, something I never heard of that growing up.
Neither did I, so that's why I don't know anything.
I don't know if that was made up for the movie or not.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I felt like the only part that was made up anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it is. All right, spoilers for real.
Kind of like Mushu and Mulan?
Yeah, yes. Like Mushu.
Kind of like Mushu.
It's like just like Mushu.
Yeah. That's what I
Except thought. Not Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
All right, for real.
Imagine if it was.
Spoilers for Coco starting now.
Abuelita runs our house just like Mama Imelda did.
No music. No music! No music!
I think we're the only family in Mexico who hates music. And my family's fine with that. But me?
Be back by lunch, mijo.
Love you, mama! I am not like the rest of my family.
Hola, Miguel.
Hola. Muchas gracias.
De nada, Miguel.
Hey, Rampy! Sit, down, roll over, shake, fist bump. Good boy, Dante.
Did you want them to talk, the guides?
No,
right?
No.
That would be weird,
no,
talk,
no,
right,
we're good. We're good.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that was a big-ass dragon guide or whatever.
Yeah.
That was another pretty convenient thing for me. Like, oh my, okay, she's got the best guide, clearly.
Right.
By the way, I'm going to wish for a griffin too, because.
Yeah.
Well, it was like based on your like personality or something.
I mean,
right?
I'm going to force my personality to fit a griffin because, like, how do you not do that, bro? Right?
Right. No,
okay,
it did feel that way.
Okay. Yeah. So it felt, you know, kind of like. She is a like you can't fuck with that girl.
No, she'll mess you up. You
cannot fuck with that great.
Well, that's the thing I was saying. Like the message of the movie, what it talks to you about is
Like that's a big. Those are there's some big scenes, and it's especially like that one scene where he talks to his where he the great great grandmother is like you will go back home. I give you my blessing, right? But you can't play music. But you can't do this. Right. And you're like, well, family is about conforming. About you know like about you're supposed to help me as much as I'm helping you, like and stuff like that. Like
right.
we're supposed to be you know taking care of each other, right? But you guys don't care about that. Like you guys talk about it, but you guys never do it. But you guys never care about it. In the end, mm-hmm. it's like they're always being the parents, but they're never letting the child. You know, like you have to grow up into it. Oh, you'll know it later. And that's a really big thing in Mexican culture. I feel.
Are you talking about it as a slight or as a positive thing?
No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing how it's portrayed. Like he's right. He's right.
All I'm saying, that's correct. How they do it.
Right.
I'm saying, what do you feel about that?
Oh no, as a thing. I feel it's correct. Yeah. I feel the way he brings it up is correct. It's the right thing.
Okay.
And it's something that you know, but most kids wouldn't say anything. That's the thing. Most kids, or especially, just wouldn't want to bring that up to their parents.
And the ones that do are the ones that are like you know, kind of strung out.
Yeah.
Or cast out, and I don't mean like literally, but some of them.
Yeah,
literally.
Depending on the family, for sure.
Totally.
Yeah.
Depending on what's the smaller town, the worse it is.
Yeah, that is.
It
true.
It seems to be the way it feels to me anyway. Because one of our parents is from a very small town, and the other one's from a bigger city. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've seen both sides of this. Yeah, totally. And oh my God, those roads and the houses, everything looked exactly right. You know, the only thing that was missing a little bit is that
Cartels?
The cartels, for one. No, I'm glad they didn't bring up any of that even remotely. I'm glad. Yeah. That's just a sore spot. Because every time any movie here talks even remotely about Mexico, it's always related to drugs. I'm glad they didn't even think about doing anything like that. And also, it takes place like in the past, too. It's not like present day.
Well, here's the thing. I couldn't
pegged
the time frame.
It doesn't feel present day. I mean, they could have made that joke where it was present day. They're just not getting iPhones or something. But then, I'm glad they didn't do that.
But then, like, even though when they were showing, like, the video footage of, like, the singer, you know, when the bell dropped on him, it kind of seemed more, like, modern.
Was he in a big stadium?
I would have pegged that in the 50s or 40s.
Well, it's he's supposed to represent the great age of Mexican singers and stuff like that in the Mexican cinema was the 50s.
So
they were huge,
and he says grand nephew. So we got a lot of generations in there.
No, you're right. I see your point. It's one grand, first of all, or two.
I thought it was two.
Two.
It's Coco, it's two. Then Coco's mom.
The 50s. Well, yeah,
it would be his.
He died
mom.
In the 50s, right? So it'll be the two greats. Yeah, two greats. Maybe I guess you're right. Maybe it is, and it's just from a small town. I mean, it could be some of those small towns do look like they're from.
Yeah, no.
But not that far off either.
No, but not that far.
I mean, the only piece of TV, the thing you saw, he had a VHS and he had that old, like.
It's got to go somewhere.
Well, I thought they were in the 80s the whole time.
Yeah, I thought they were in the
early 90s, maybe, but not like today, is my point. But maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. Or they just died off faster. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm just calculating how years work.
He could have had all that stuff because, you know, it was all probably secondhand and no one knows he's supposed to have it.
Right. That's true, too. I didn't see an internet cafe or anything.
No, neither did I.
Those are big. Those were big for a while. I'm sure they still are. I think you were in the middle of something before, weren't you?
No.
I had a thought, but it's gone now. So somebody talk about something else while I think about it.
Okay. I'm trying to get to something.
Oh, it's on the tip of my brain. It's like almost there. Well, anyway, I liked how accurate they depicted also the powerhouse of 50s music scene in Mexico and how it was world-renowned stuff back then. Obviously, not as much anymore, although obviously there still is a lot of that. But I'm saying, though, that was a big thing back then. And you got like filmmakers like Luis Buñuel, actually.
I almost felt like this is the times of like Cantinflas.
Cantinflas, too.
That's a big That's a big thing. So like,
yeah, that's true.
That would be like
the biopic came out like last year or the year before?
Huh?
The biopic came out like a couple years ago, right? Like
2 years ago, I think.
Yeah, Cantinflas is huge. He was like the
Charlie Chaplin of Mexico.
Yeah, he's exactly right. Just like 20 years later.
Yeah. He met Charlie Chaplin, actually, I think.
Did he?
I think so.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Huh. Because Charlie Chaplin is German, I think. Just did his stuff here.
Yeah.
All right, so I couldn't think of the thing, so maybe it'll pop up again. What do you guys think of the reveals of the family as it was coming up? I mean, like I said, it was obvious for me who the father was. I Alexi, who was
Did you get that? How obvious was it for you? Because that's a good question.
When they met up.
When they met up, like that.
Yeah.
Okay, what about you?
No, I didn't see it.
You didn't see it that early?
Okay. No. And I should have. I was like, oh, yeah.
No, a lot of people didn't. I was surprised to hear
it. I saw it at the show when they were running away. And he's begging him to come back or whatever.
Right.
And that's when I saw it. I was like,
When the movie was taking these careful steps to make sure he never meets his family, his family that, you know, he's not talking about, I'm like, okay, they're not going to. It just proved, it confirmed what I was thinking. And I told, like I said, I told Lexi, who was watching with me, and I was like telling her these predictions to see if it came true, just to have verification here, a witness. I was telling her this, and I was like, watch, and the singer, the main singer guy who's really famous, he's going to turn out to be like a douchebag.
Yeah.
I was right, but I didn't think it would be that bad.
What did you think of that? Let's go with there.
The murder?
What did you think of the whole thing about the...
I mean, for as a kid's film, I don't
know. Yeah, that was weird. Those are really weird for the kid's film.
Right. I'm not gonna play. You know, I'm not gonna say it's wrong. It's bold, and it's. I think I like it.
It's dark.
It's dark, and
it feels like a fucking novella. I felt like a novella.
Yeah, like one of those old graphics too.
Yeah,
like novels, little booklet novels. Yeah, like zines almost. Salute. Yeah, yo, dude, dark stuff. And it's funny how he never like. I'm surprised they never put that two and two together. His dad. Oh, his great-grandfather, sorry. Yeah. Great. Damn it, I can't keep track of these greats. I'm surprised he didn't put it together, considering like the way he explains how he died, and now everyone makes fun of him. I'm like, you never thought poison, really. Like, cause kind of poison goes through your stomach system, because you drink it like that. When you drink it, I mean, it goes through your stomach first. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Is that you feel it probably there first, and then...
Well, he dies, and not just... before he gets to know anything, right? So he doesn't know anything when he dies.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole chorizo thing was hilarious, though. Like,
he died because of a
chorizo.
On,
he choked on chorizo, supposedly.
I hate chorizo.
Yeah, it's so funny. I thought it was funny. What did you think about these...
real quick. Did you think it was a step too high on that?
For
a kid's film.
For the kid's film, like the kind of dark thing where the murder and
I just
stuff.
Knew it was like... They said it was like Pixar's like darkest flick. So I was like, okay, I definitely see it.
Yeah.
But okay. I still felt darker for me when it was the old man was like really forgotten, and you're like,
that's where I was that about to go.
I was surprised by that.
That was super surprising. Yeah, that was really.
That part I did not see it coming at all.
No,
and when it was happening, so I'm like, were they really gonna do this? And I was like, oh shit, the dead die.
The dead die. Yeah. What did you think about these like almost second life kind of thing?
That's a second life. Yeah.
And like you get to live if your family's cool.
Like, that's why I made that joke in the beginning for the intro of the show. I almost made one about that specific dying twice.
Yeah.
Thing. But like I couldn't think of a good angle in the moment. So yeah, that was it's really freaky. The movie opens it up really well. That's a great introduction to that.
I think the movie does do a great job there.
Because then it gives every stake to the character, his dad. Well, who turns out to be his great dad, whatever. What's his name again? I forgot his name. I should say his name.
The kid?
Not the kid, Miguel, but... His partner, the other singer,
Hector,
yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It makes Hector's stake in the whole thing probably even more important than Miguel's, and it ties them together in a really nice way. And I think that works really well with the story.
Well, you have that whole fear, especially right after that scene, that he is going to die. He's coming up next, but we're not thinking it's this soon. Like, we're not thinking it's like coming up now,
right?
Because and that's the cool thing, because the movie's named Coco, right? It's because Coco's dying. And that's what we're getting to, this realization of that Coco is eventually... He says forgetting, but forgetting is almost like another word of like, she's passed, she's going soon. And she's losing her mind slowly, right? Yeah. She's forgetting things. And soon she won't be in the land of the living anymore.
And who remembers this guy?
And who's going to... Exactly.
Right.
Dude, that is very deep.
Very deep. Yes, exactly. I mean, there are iconic legends of history who did their damnedest to make sure they were in history books so they will never be forgotten.
Yeah, Frida.
And you think of Frida.
Frida.
Oh my God. Her depiction in this movie was really funny.
Okay.
The spider monkeys or whatever the hell that was.
Actually, at the Frida point, I had to really pee during this movie. And when I went to run pee the app, it told me like when he meets Frida, that's when it's a good time to go. Take a piss.
Oh, that's why it's that.
It's just a really funny part, though.
And I saw the beginning of it, and then I saw like, the performance.
Yeah. So she brings it up, and she's like, "What? Why did you not like my thing?" Right? Because he sees like the them practicing, right?
Yeah.
And then she's like, "Well, if you had like fire, and, like, he does, like, he says like kid stuff, like, yeah, if you had fire, right, that'd be really cool, and this isn't that, yeah, right? So she totally adds that to all her shows, okay, to her, the whole show, right?
Yeah.
And then it's a standout performance from Frida, but it was like she was really like really pressuring him to like, why don't you like this? This isn't that.
It's, yeah, it's really
was,
funny.
She was depicted.
Also funny how the how your icon. So, oh my. No. Should we get to world questions? No, let's talk more about the movie.
Okay.
Although that's part of it.
I love how the Frida thing just pops up all throughout the movie.
Yeah, it does. It does. But she's a huge part of Mexican culture. Huge, huge.
Yeah,
check that out. I thought she was from movie. Spain.
No.
No.
You bastard. But he dated
Guatemala?
She dated a famous Russian for a while. And then Diego Rivera? Yeah, also another famous painter. Anyway.
Riviera?
I think it's Riviera. That's what it might be. Riviera, but maybe it's Rivera. I don't remember. He might be. That's what I'm saying. He might be right. So the whole thing with the, you know, how did it work for the villain, who turns out to be the singer guy, that, like, will he be forgotten at the end of this?
Well, he will not be forgotten because he's people are going to know.
He's too famous, right?
But the thing is, no one's offering him anymore.
So
that's the other.
Some delusional old bad would probably be like, I still love his music. So
how much is the ofrenda, is the offering?
I just think he's not getting as much anymore. Yeah.
He's probably only get like three guitars and only a couple like churros or something.
Churros. Nice.
No tamales.
No, I'm just curious about that because, like, how does it work? Because there's got to be a ton of people who do fade out.
Yeah.
Where is Coco's mother, right? Who is like one with the griffin, right?
Yeah.
Where's her mother?
She faded out somewhere.
Right. But she remembers her.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so we get that.
But she's dead also.
But there was never a picture, I guess. Yeah. So all this started when photography wasn't invented?
Back then.
What I'm saying, did this start when photography wasn't invented?
I don't know. Maybe back in the day, just had like a candle and just took a little crude stick drawing.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, we don't know.
So it must have been just like through memory. So now that photography is invented.
I think it's through memory.
I think photography helps prolong it.
I think so. But I think it's through memory through stories. And it's if I can tell you a story and it's something about, hey, this is your heritage. This is your family lineage. This is everything. That person is this. You make more of a connection. So you know who that person is. So I think that's the whole thing about the pictures, right?
Yeah.
So you make more of that big of a connection. Because if you just say it, well, I don't know who that person
is. I'm saying, I'm not asking as part of the plot. I'm asking as part of the world building.
I know. This is one of the questions that you were asking.
Also,
earlier.
What about, why do we have to go through immigration again after we die?
That's funny.
That was hilarious.
And to come back out again.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's because, you know, you actually, it's pointless because if you don't have a offering.
Also, if you have like a family of only one left, is that you have to work in this world in order to keep being remembered? How do workers work in this world?
I don't know.
Like, if you died a security guard, do you have to be a security guard when you die? Before you did, I mean.
I don't know.
Right? Or, I mean, so Frida was a painter, so she's still a painter. But clearly, that's a passion, so I can see her wanting to paint. Okay, I'll buy that. I can't really buy a barman who's probably sick of bar and like took forever to own it. And he gets over here, like, there's an open space for you. This is another bar.
This is what's bogging you down. In this movie.
Yeah. How does the society work? Currency? Why is there currency? Is there currency?
I don't think there was.
Everything's free?
I didn't see any.
Everything's free. So these people work hard for free. I don't know. Just it's a little insane. Isn't it?
No, they work with what they think it all works on, like, trade of what they got from their offerings.
Okay. Okay, so there's currency.
Yeah. Shit. The currency is how much more you're loved.
So that's why how this guy was able to afford that huge palace.
Exactly.
And
but if you didn't get anything, because no one remembers you.
Yeah, well, yeah, his currency's going to run out.
You don't get anything. But if people still remember you, you still get to live. But if somebody doesn't remember you, you're not getting anything. That's it. You're done.
That's why that guy was dying in the slums, in the bottom
exactly,
pits of
nobody else would remember
right
him.
By the water. Very nice scene. Very nice scene.
Yeah.
I'm just saying these are questions like cars.
I know. Come on. I know you have a problem with cars. Why do they have doors?
Yeah, but that's a huge problem with cars.
Sure.
This is not a problem with Coco. It's just a question. I know. About
Wait, what was your problem with cars?
A lot of problems with cars. Why do they need doors?
There's
no humans. There's no humans
cars.
On the cars.
Oh,
Yeah. How do they make them? If they make them in factories, why do they need to couple up? Where's the love coming from? If they can make babies, how do they fuck?
Why did I ask?
See what I mean?
Now I'm thinking the same things.
Yeah, watch Cars 2. They torture cars in that, and it's a funny pun. There's like oil leaking out. That's the blood. That's not good. It's
okay. Back to Coco.
Cars 2 was okay.
I didn't even know there was a Cars 3.
Came out this year, bro.
It came out this year.
Or last year?
No, it was this year.
Wow, that's how long. That's how much I forgot.
It might have been last year, but I think
I don't remember. Was that
it was this year?
Did you see with me?
Oh, regardless.
Continuing on?
I think it was last year.
Oh, Jesus, this doesn't make sense. Yeah. Cool. I don't know what that is. Oh, Phantom Thread. You don't want to see that too? Spoiler alert for Luke showing me things on his phone. Anything else you want to mention about Coco? I mean, first of all, the emotions of the...
What did you get from this movie? What was the message for you, besides family? Don't just say family.
Family, right, totally.
Yeah. Acceptance.
Fam.
Fam.
I do think it's a little bit more about the dream angle on Miguel, because we see Miguel only. And I really loved how it was... See, for me, I saw more about not just his dreams being achieved, but how it started with him in the real world talking to that mariachi and the first time playing in front of somebody. He didn't get to do that. And then, but we see how good he is at mimicking the video, right? And he goes to the land of the dead. He gets an opportunity to do it for the first time in front. And his dad, or his lineage, sorry, I keep saying his dad, he convinces him and like leans him into it, into the very dream that he regrets like forcing his families upon when he was alive in the real world. Like, it's such a perfect thing about dream and how it can affect, or for good or ill, family. And I really dug all that, because by the end of the movie, he has no regrets, and he can be on that stage, and he can have the confidence to stand up to the hardest people to stand up to, which is your fucking family, and tell them what you need to do. And obviously, and then them accepting him at the end, which was, I saw it coming, and if it wasn't going to come, I was like, whoa, Pixar, that's really dark. It ends with putting his picture through the shredder, you know? And but it's so good. That's the heartfelt stuff for me.
Okay.
On a personal thing. Obviously, I say that, you know, knowing full well that I went into college with arts degrees, so you know, that's probably, I feel a little similar, but not as a guitarist. So, yeah, that's what I got.
Luke, what was the message for you? Something similar?
Acceptance.
Okay, but not one word.
I mean, not from us, right? Because you don't have it yet.
But acceptance for Miguel, right, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
But for what? Like his dreams? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like you know, because it was kind of like you're going to be the shoe person, you know? We all hate music.
And dude,
any other way.
Shoemaking looks so boring.
It really did.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of adventurous, you know? The one time I went up into the ceiling and then fell back.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the main message for sure, like the whole family thing, obviously, and how why you need your family, and how good your family is for you, and, you know, things that you should be doing or you should do for family as well. But at the same time, it's what family should be doing for you. And how it should be helping you as well. Like, that was a really big message. I really did enjoy
you
it.
You are a starting family. You have a starter family right now.
Right, exactly.
Living above already started family. Like, I can see you seeing this a lot easier.
Yeah, for sure. It's a lot easier for me to see.
Yeah.
No, I really did enjoy the message.
If your boy was named Miguel, I'd be like, Jesus, buff.
Yeah, dude, no, I can't do
Where's
that.
The guitar? Yeah. Or the ukulele, start him
right, off. Right. But yeah, no, I really did enjoy it.
Here's another aspect I thought of, too. You know how in America, or maybe a lot of countries too, but we show it a lot in American films and TV, where, you know, when their great-grandfather or their grandfather or whatever, or, you know, some old bastard went to war, but he never talks about the war.
Yeah.
He never talks about the horrors of Korean War, Vietnam War, whatever, or current war. They come back and they're quiet about it. Now, we're trying to break through that a lot. But a lot of people grow up, you know, we hear a lot of stories, comedians who have fathers who went through it. It's part of the joke. Like, they never tell me anything, and we don't know anything. And
in King of the Hill, Kill 50 Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talked a lot about that.
All right. You know, Mad Men spent a lot of time on this. You know, a lot of
Yeah, well, I mean, he was like...
You know, Don Draper was... Yeah. Didn't say shit. Well, he also, like...
Nobody knew.
He also stole an identity. Spoiler alert for Mad Men.
Yeah.
Such a good show.
Such a great show. So I think that same feeling in relation is it's the same way they treat family members who left the flock in this movie and the way they're portraying the Mexican family, at least this Miguel's, because he knew so nothing about his great-grandfather that left them that he would never have recognized them, and he only assumed that it was a singer guy because he was a guitarist.
Right.
And he pieced out that coat, that the whole guitar head thing together himself because he happened to see all these movies. No one, they never talk about it so much that it's like a war they went through with this guy.
It
and
is.
That's not much of a crazy time. They treat it the same way, and I thought that was an interesting duality thing. Just a thought, nothing concrete, just something to think about. But you, did you want to have something else? I think you were in the middle of something else.
No, I wasn't. I was good. Okay.
Do that Coco, that whole thing with at the last scene before she died. That was a cool scene.
That was a really heartfelt scene. For
the animation, man, her wrinkles.
When he started playing the guitar?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's when I heard a lot.
Tearjerker.
Yeah, and you see that with like Alzheimer's patients and dementia. Yeah. Like, the music does help, especially if it hits the right chord of memory, it can help easier than talking to them or seeing their faces.
Yeah, that's the point where the theater just shit out on me and the alarm went off.
Was that?
That was.
Did you didn't finish the scene?
Right there. That's when it happened.
Sucks.
Yeah, he.
Like, she just started singing along, and
that
then
sucks.
I heard a large, like a pop, and I was like right behind at the end. At the end.
It was a really heartfelt scene because.
I just like saw flashing lights.
Because the grandmother wants to beat the kid because she's like, you're you're doing music.
Yeah.
B, you're bothering my grandmother, right?
Yeah.
And or my mother, should I say.
Molestando.
Molestando, yeah. And
doesn't mean the same in Spanish, guys.
It doesn't.
That's why I asked.
In English?
It's bothering, yeah. And but it ends up being a thing where she's like, my father used to play that for me.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, look. I have a picture of my father.
Yeah.
And not only that, but I have a notebook of him. This is what we used to sing together. Yeah. And then they use it at the very end where they're like, oh, yeah, this is proof that he was the writer of these songs. And this guy proves that he's a fraud, that he was the murderer or whatever. Yeah. Or he's a fraud for stealing his music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know this review is long, so I have two more things. But yeah, I totally agree, by the way, Ralph. What do we think of the music?
I like it. I like this type of music and Mexican music. Or
Poquito Loco?
Yeah, that was a good song.
My favorite song.
Yeah, that was a good song.
I've been listening to it on Spotify.
Oh, really?
Because usually after, like Moana, that's you're welcome and listen to that right away.
Yeah, for sure.
They usually have the album right away. This one was that one right away.
Okay, that's cool.
So that was such a good song. I mean,
it's not my cup of tea, but it's really good.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's very different. It's ranchero music almost.
When
like.
They do that like high-pitched stuff, it's like someone stepped on your foot or something.
Oh, it sounds like a rooster, like a rooster. Yeah, for sure. That's just the style, right? Do we want Pixar to do a musical? Because it's the closest they've ever been. It's not a musical, but it's almost there. They've never done one. I feel like they're really close.
I don't know. That's an interesting question.
Do we want them to do like the Disney thing? Because Disney is the one that does animated musicals mainly, right? They grew up on that.
I don't know what. I want Pixar to do something that's just quality. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But do you guys want to see that now? Have we seen a little bit of that?
I wouldn't hate it.
Yeah, okay.
If the effort is there, then they make a quality thing.
One question before we talk about the worst short on the planet is World Building Short, of course. I don't want to say Poland because you just said that they do a Day of the Dead thing and they have one.
I just remember going to the graveyard.
I think that's a big that's a big Catholic thing.
You're right. It's part right. You know, Halloween right and some of that pagan adoptings. But let's say because most places don't. So more than half the country doesn't, I believe. And so do those people, like, is this how it works? Like, if you make an offering accidentally, do you go to land and then you see a bunch of Hispanics there? And, like, if other people don't get it, do other people don't have other people's cultures don't have an afterlife? Or do they have their own version? Does this open up a whole new can of worms about what does heaven look
I
like?
You're thinking
other 40 versions in another planet size?
You're thinking way too much into
Come on, bro. Come on. Come on.
That's the problem.
Come on. These bridges, man. Nope. It's got to be more than these few.
Nope.
Come on.
Nope. Let's talk about why Olaf was really bad.
Okay.
Right, I didn't see it.
Okay. Let's do it, Roth.
I kind of wanted to.
All right, so.
I'm glad you thought I was bad and asked you before.
We're done with Coco. Just giving you a quick heads up.
Yeah, so you can stop the thing recording.
Okay, so pretty much. So there was a 20-minute short before Coco?
20 fucking minutes.
It was really long.
It felt like 3 hours.
And it was a Frozen short, okay?
Yeah.
And it starts out, it's all music. They're singing, and then it's like, but there's a fucking plot.
Yeah.
Like, and the plot is basically like, I need to go find a Christmas tradition for them.
I already forgot.
And he goes on this hunt for the Christmas tradition that takes like 3 hours because I looked at my phone like 6 times. I was like, when is this going to be over? And it was just not good.
So
it felt forced. Everything
this is how
forced.
Bad it is. Yeah. Lexi, who I saw with, loves Frozen, loves singing it, loves fucking quoting it, loves watching it. She was sick. When I first said, oh, Jesus, a Frozen thing, she was like, oh, no, I want to see it. And she was into it. And then 5 minutes happened. And then she's like, it's still going. By the end of it, she was on my side of how terrible it was. A Frozen fan couldn't stand this musical. And, you know, I've never been the biggest Frozen fan guy, but she is the fangirl. And she was so sick of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a testament of how bad this fucking short is.
Yeah, it just, I don't know.
It was off. The whole fruitcake, none of it worked. I didn't care about any of it. And it's just funny how they have to show a bunch of white guys before a movie about Hispanics. Yeah, the songs were bad. Say that part again.
They weren't kosher.
The songs were terrible.
Yeah, it was. That's kosher. It was. Why so long? And also, why Disney? Right? It's not the biggest weird thing because Pixar makes their own shorts.
Yeah, Disney did this one, right?
Disney, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why? That's very interesting, right? Because they almost always do, right?
I really don't know.
Cherry's Game and the weird sheep thing. Every time. It was always Pixar. Sure. I guess too much integration, maybe, with this bigger company. Maybe. Anyway, so those are our thoughts on the short and Coco. I believe that is all. Do you want to mention anything else on the musical? On this musical terribleness?
No.
I just want to see this short now.
Go look it up.
Trust me, you can find it. And you count your lucky stars. You don't have to see it because the movie would have ended before Coco's.
Well, no.
Before you find out about Coco's
trip. If it was boring, I could have gone to take a piss first.
No, I'm saying you wouldn't even have seen the dramatic ending. The right.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So
maybe they wouldn't have pulled the fire alarm.
Count your lucky snowflakes, man. all right. Cool. Cut it. Let's go. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll review our last film of the evening.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun.
The Disaster Artist. Stay with us.
Dun, dun, dun.
Los Angeles, everybody want to be star. You have to be the best and never give up.
When I get up on stage in front of people, all I can think about is, what if they laugh at me? You, man, you're fearless. I want to feel that too.
I don't care. I'll do it.
You and me, we both have this dream.
Yeah, I guess we do.
And we'll be famous. We'll show them.
Watch out, here we come. To be or not to be.
It's not going to happen for you. Not in a million years.
But after that, this town, Greg, they don't want me.
Wish we could just make our own movie.
A great idea.
When Greg Sestero, an aspiring film actor, meets the weird and mysterious Tommy Wiseau in an acting class, they form a unique friendship and travel to Hollywood to make their dreams come true.
Nice. It is The Disaster Artist, a biopic period film about art. It's about movie making. Movie about movie making. You know, film about films are always fun to watch. I love those kind of movies. Kind of, you know, the meta also. This one stars James Franco, directed by James Franco.
Starring James Franco.
Right. If he produced it and wrote it, it would be just like Tommy Wiseau, which is funnier. But anyway, and it also co-stars Dave Franco, Ari Grainer, Seth Rogen's in it, Alison Brie, Jackie Weaver is really good in this movie, Paul Scheer, Zac Efron, Josh Hutcherson.
There's a lot of big people in this movie.
Yes, there is.
It's like, holy shit, they got this person? Or people from other, like, right. The other movies just kind of
I was
pop
also
in.
Very surprised. You're right. All right, man. This is a biopic.
Biopic.
It's a comedy.
Made from a book.
Made from a book based on the basically the Plan 9 from Outer Space of our generation. Yeah. It is the worst movie ever
made. Written by Greg Sestero and Tom Bissell. I don't know that. The name sounds
Bissell.
Very similar.
Bissell.
Bissell?
Not Bissell.
I think
Bethesda. Yeah, the name sounds familiar. Maybe he's the actual literature guy of the duo, because Greg Sestero is the guy who started. He's the actor who was in the movie.
Yeah.
So this is playing, based on the what year did that movie come out? 2008, 2003, or something.
Oh,
I forgot.
I know.
I should watch.
Tom Bissell wrote a book, Extra Lives: Why Video Games Matter. That's why I know it.
Okay. So you do recognize that, huh? Nice.
Yes.
Anyway, it came out in 2003. So this movie is based on the up to 2003, the making of that movie. So, The Room. You have not seen The Room. We should start with that.
I never saw The Room.
Never heard of it before this movie?
I heard of The Room.
Okay.
And the way it was pitched to me was, it's a movie. It's like the worst movie made by this one guy. They pretty much told me he did everything in the movie,
mm-hmm.
and he was the star of the movie, and they made it seem like that was the only person in
the person who gave you this pitch.
And I always feel like it's like a one man movie, starring one man.
Yeah, no, that would have been way more.
On only one man doing one man things.
So obviously that's not true.
Yeah.
If I was pitching this to you, I would say it is the best movie at being the worst movie of all time. I would have just said that. And because by then, whatever your connotations would be, if you ask me questions like, oh, is it action? Is it not? No, I was like, no, romantic crime, maybe. Right? And even then, I don't know if I'm right. But I would say, you know, this one guy, it is one of those rare movies, because it's rare in Hollywood. It's one of those rare movies that has no outsider control. Like, it is the guy's vision.
Yeah.
100%. Through and through. Whatever he wanted went, essentially. I mean, through a lot of troubles, but he paid for everything and everything like that.
Yeah, so, if you got the money.
Right, exactly. And throughout the whole movie, that's kind of like what you think about. Like, oh, you know, he has the means and clearly the motivation. And the movie, you know, the movie doesn't inspire people to hate it. The funniest thing about that movie is that it really does have a cultural classic status to it, because no one hates the movie. Really, I mean, anyone who's going to see it knows the legacy it has already. So nobody will go actively see a bad movie if they didn't want to. So no one who's seen it can say it's a bad movie, because they love it. Everyone loves to watch this movie because it's so fucking awful. And I, funny enough, saw it in college, in my film school, and I didn't know anything about it. People were telling me, you never seen The Room? People are, you know, the same way, I'm sure, act like around you, you know? And I was like, no, never fucking heard of it. It sounded serious. The Room is right. Like a horror movie. And they're telling me, no, it's about this guy, Tommy Wiseau. I never heard of this guy. What are you talking about? And I see the movie. We saw it with a bunch of film students and teachers in a theater, in the movie theater of the school. So it was like a perfect setting for me.
Yeah.
And I experienced this movie for the first time, just like the people in the movie making this movie, whatever. And it was as amazing as it was shown there. It was just amazing. And somebody did bring a football. I didn't understand that at first. I'm like, what the fuck is with the football? And then I understood after like a few scenes.
Okay.
So, I had the best experience with The Room. And that was in 2009 or maybe 8. So,
I think that's around the time I started hearing about it.
Yeah. Maybe that's when it picked up again. I don't know. I wish I was in the movie theater when it first came out. Anyway, so it's hard to spoil this movie because it's based on real life. And if you've seen The Room, like many of you have, you kind of know where it's going to go. But what did you think of the movie made by the James Franco movie?
Oh, I thought it was really good. Especially like James Franco's acting. Like, I think there was like two, three scenes I was like, okay, that's James Franco. The other times I'm like, this is not James Franco.
Yeah, 5% of the time it was James Franco.
Yeah.
95% was fucking Tommy Wiseau.
Like, he fucking nailed it.
Yeah, he really did. And I know you've never seen the guy, but the fact that you can recognize him as James Franco right. means that he did a good job. And even though I could recognize him, he looked he was acting just like him. It was so good. Sometimes it was a little over the top, like too much Tommy Wiseau. And other times, the way he smiled at certain times, he looked too much James Franco.
Yeah.
But any other time in between, he had a perfect Undertaker's cousin. You know, he looks like the Undertaker's cousin. Face the whole time. And did you find the movie hilarious, though? The movie's supposed to be a comedy, though. Like, did you feel like that was appropriate for the movie, laughing at a guy who is just doing his best?
Yeah, it was kind of weird, because at first I was like, okay, I know it's a biopic and everything, but it felt kind of awkward to laugh. Kind of like
throughout?
Yeah, throughout. Okay. Like, I was like, should I be, you know, I had that like moral ambiguity. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I kind of feel like I think it's kind of got the same tone as like what I think what The Room would have had if I had watched it. Like, am I supposed to be laughing at this? Is this supposed to be a funny thing?
Right.
Is this supposed to be serious? Like, what do you want from me, movie?
What do you want?
Just tell me what you want.
You are asking the same questions that 24 hours ago I rewatched this movie with my girlfriend for another show, Lexi, who's been on before, and she saw it for the first time, and she was asking the same question, except hitting her head with a water bottle while asking it, because she was like, why would you say that? You were just asking about that. What happened to the breast cancer? Like, all this stuff. And so, yeah, I agree. And it seems like the movie is successful, even though it's supposed to be awkward. It's like a very long, like, it's like The Office, but instead of an episode, it's like a very long office joke.
Right.
From The Office. Like, it's a very long joke, and it's really awkward. And it does pay off, but, like, through awkwardness. But, yeah, I agree. And what do you think of the way people are hailing James Franco as both director and star of the movie? I mean, we know that he kills it as the role. Do we think he, you know, what was his direction? Like, do you like the flow of the movie? Where it went, how it started, how did it take too long for it to get into the room production, things like that.
Yeah, at first I was like, when is this going to happen? And then, you know, just wasn't sure how that was going to... I thought it was going to be like that... The room production was going to be like the last, like, 5 minutes of the movie. Like,
oh, God, that would have been awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they finally just got to it, you know?
No, it takes like, what, 30 minutes? Maybe a bit more?
I don't know.
Because they meet, right? Him and Greg Sestero.
Yeah.
This is not. By the way, can we just go and just talk about this movie freely? Because can we spoil this movie?
Yeah, it's why not?
Okay, we're gonna say spoilers now, but also like we can't spoil real life. And if you haven't watched The Room but are still interested in watching this movie, I would say stop listening now. But if you have seen The Room, this is just added flavor. I mean, we're not gonna go into the details of Tommy Wiseau necessarily. We'll just talk about the techniques and stuff like that mainly, but also Tommy Wiseau as a character a little bit. So, but if you've seen The Room, then you kind of know what he is as a man, probably.
Yeah,
the movie is very personal. So,
action. What is line? Take 13. Action.
I did not hit her. Okay, wine.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Take 67. Action.
I hit her.
No. Do you want to change the line?
You're doing great, man. We'll get there.
Action. 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 Action.
You have to say it loud. I can't hear it in here.
Say action so I can hear her.
Okay. Action.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Yes! What I was going to say is that I never... No, actually, I don't remember what I was going to say. What was I going to say? Right before I said the caveats, I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So they meet up in the acting class. I love how at the beginning of the movie we're seeing a lot through. Greg's point of view. Dave Franco's character. Oh, hi, Mark. That guy. And I like how we see through his point of view because you can see someone like him at that age with that motivation. Well, not motivation, but lack of motivation, maybe. But with that dream of wanting to be an actor, and also you know, being 19 at the time. You know, you kind of maybe are more, you know, susceptible for certain, you know, persuasion things. You know, you want to do things faster and done, and you want to try new things and things like that. I think that the way he bought into Tommy Wiseau's insane amount of motivation and charisma, because despite what you want, he's a weirdo, but he has a lot of it, and he doesn't care what you think. He'll do whatever he has to do. He'll embarrass himself in front of in a restaurant. Just as much as he'll make this movie that no one will like. So, and I think I fell in love with the character of falling in love with that. So I dug that a lot in the beginning of the movie. And did it track enough for you as the 30 minutes went on before they got onto the making of The Room?
I just thought it was kind of like Greg's naiveness. Like he was going to just follow this guy because he doesn't really know anyone that can act or, you know, think that they're acting like as good as he is.
Yeah.
So... I just thought it was just kind of like a naive thing.
See, I was worried it was going to become only a naive thing, but the movie does evolve. Like,
yeah.
Greg does evolve.
Yo, throughout big the movie. Time.
Yeah, so I'm glad that the movie doesn't just like treat him like a piece of shit that's like a puppy following Tommy around, you know? And, but I really like how they kept Tommy's mystery throughout the movie. Like, you never know about him. He keeps lying where he's not from New Orleans. He's not from New Orleans. Hey.
But yeah, like, no one knows. It's anytime he asks a question, like, oh, how old are you? Oh, yeah, I'm
like your age.
I'm Greg's age. Greg's age. Yeah.
You're like, yeah, you're 19
it's
now.
It's like you're not in your 20s.
Or in your
20s.
You're
far from it.
It's ridiculous. And like, you can see some of the holes that makes Tommy was so a sympathetic but also a flawed character. And it isn't just like, it isn't the weirdness. It isn't his accent. It isn't like his money or anything like that. It's like, it's the fact that he won't admit to it. It's the fact that he can be just as shy and just as naive and stupid about things going around him that are obvious to the rest of us, that he is just plainly not admitting. And that becomes why James Franco, I think, does a good job in the movie. Yeah. For the making of The Room, what did you, like, I'm curious about your point of view, because what did you think was going to happen? Like, what kind of movie, how do I explain this?
I didn't know what to expect out of this movie.
So, when you're watching the first scene they're making, what were you thinking? Like,
what was the first scene?
Well, no, I'm just saying the first scene in general, like, what, the first time you start watching the making of The Room.
Yeah.
Like, what were you thinking?
Like, he has no idea what the hell, what he's doing.
But, like, did it work? Was it charming for you?
Kind
of. Have you seen Ed Wood?
Yes.
Ed Wood's not like this, right?
Yeah. Kind of like, I was going to kind of compare it later on.
Definitely. He's a weirdo. I mean,
they're both quite eccentric fellows.
They're both, I mean, different weirdo. Like, he's a cross-dresser who is who likes collecting, like, these Night of the Time freaks. That's what they call him back then. Okay. And he's living in a different era, too. So it's all different setting. So, like, he's a different person, but also very much the same. They both have this driven passion to make a movie for themselves.
It doesn't matter what it takes.
Doesn't matter how badly it looks.
Whose dentist he's got to use.
Right. Doesn't matter how many Bela Lugosi's you got to steal. He does it, and the movie is known for the worst movie ever made until this movie came out. So there is a correlation. So if you want to watch one that's like this, Ed Wood, we recommend. Tim Burton, right?
Johnny Depp.
Yeah, Johnny Depp. One of his very, very good movies. I love his movie. Yeah, and I think James Franco pulls off an Ed Wood here really well. And he never – it's like that guy who plays Borat. He never breaks routine in a way that it's like – it's never self-serving.
Sasha
Baron Cohen.
Yes.
He's never self-serving. He's not winking at the camera. Even like the final credits of the movie, when the movie ends and they show the – this is a great thing at the end of the credits of the movie. So they're showing back-to-back scenes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Side-by-side
scenes, sorry. Of what happened in the actual room and the ones they remade. And they make it exactly.
Yeah.
Like the candles are in the right place. The flowers are in the right place.
So okay, that pot is slightly different than the one in the movie, but it's still same shit.
You could tell his delivery was a little slower on this one. Or sometimes they...
Or it's like in sync.
Yeah, or in sync, right.
Yeah. Especially, like, I think Lisa's dialogue was so in sync.
Right.
It's kind of an echoey thing. I was like, whoa.
And sometimes they had to do, like, they showed one first so you can hear how the other one sounded after. So it was really good. And it shows how much work they put in, because all of that wasn't in the movie. Some of that wasn't in the movie.
Right, they were making it.
But some of it was just recreations, just for the hell of it. And
I think they just wanted to recreate The Room. That's it.
I think it's funny because, I mean, there's a certain passion about loving a movie like this. And it's clear to me that Seth Rogen and James Franco and the company, they love to watch this movie. And I think I read an interview or read someone talking about an interview or something like that about them, you know, loving The Room since day one and have been in the fashion of it all and then couldn't wait to make this movie. So I feel like the passion that they have for loving The Room is you can see it through how much work they put into this remake of a movie or whatever. And I think it really shows. And I think Seth Rogen was really close to becoming, like, really close to overstaying his welcome for me in the movie. What did you think of him as a script supervisor?
Yeah. A lot of those guys, I felt they were just kind of there just to be there. But right. Unless there was really, like, conflict. Like, the other guy that was from the League...
Oh, yeah,
the cinematographer, he plays
Paul Scheer. That's his real name.
Like, same here. Like, maybe they did actually have, like, a conflict over there, and that's why they was kind of brought in.
Well, I'm curious because
hey, I want to get my friends in this movie or my little brother in this movie.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Maybe. Well, I think Seth Rogen's character was the closest straight man to anyone. I mean, they're all, everyone's normal except for Tommy. But he was like, he was too aware of how bad this movie was going to be. He kept making the one-liners, right?
Well, I mean, he was like, what? He's been on all these movies and shows.
TV shows, 27.
He was a supervisor for all these.
Right. No. I'm not saying he's not wrong. He's right on every point. But yeah, it was like the movie almost got to the point where he was saying too many right things at the right moments that felt like a little too self-aware. But it didn't get that far, thank God. And for a while, we get away from that whole shtick until the very end of the movie with the premiere when he's like, when he passes by the limo, he doesn't get out. He's like, well, it'd be weird if he didn't do something weird.
Right.
So that's his last comment, a little jab. But he had good one-liners. Yeah, it was just a really fun movie. We'll talk about the ending, though, for sure. What do you think this movie's trying to say about art or artists? It's got to do something.
Yeah, all fucked up in the head.
Yeah, I guess so.
There's a level of self-hate and abuse.
Did you buy that it was artistic? Did you feel like it was artistic?
I don't know if it was artistic or just like he kind of hashed it out. So he could get something out there with him in it, or else it would have been all for nothing.
Yeah, so like when they decided to make a movie together and they have that montage of him typing it out, do you think he treats it more like homework than a passionate
script? I think it's like homework that turns into a passion.
That's interesting. See, I was thinking something like that too. Because at first, like, well, just the way he writes in general.
Right.
But like, you know how he's writing the first paragraph? He's like, how many pages of script normally? Like, how long are they really? Which feels like homework. And then, it turns into passion by the production. And what was the production days? 58 days out of 40?
It was 40 days. And then it was like, kept going over.
Yeah, it kept going over. One thing I liked about what it says about artists is that it's like his mantra, Tommy Wiseau's mantra in the movie, and Greg's too, is that, never give up on your dream. The cheesy thing that you hear from Disney movies, never give up on your dreams no matter what. Literally, this is what it looks like. The room is the answer to that.
Yeah.
And we can't take that away from the guy.
You can have your dreams. You just got to have a fat bank account.
That's true. And that makes him really weird, like shady, the fact that no one knows where he got the money or where he's from or anything like that. That's weird. But like, yeah, if you have the means, like, I mean, if he didn't have the means, he'd be doing something, but just not as production heavy, right? But he, like the fact that he wanted a stage, a Hollywood set for everything, even though there's an alley right there.
Yeah, the exact same alley. Like, I was hoping like that was just kind of fabricated and put into the movie, but I have a feeling that they actually had to, they recreated it.
Oh, no, that was true. That was true. That is very true. If you watch on IMDb, the trivia for the movie, there's so much gold in there, man. So much gold. And are you interested in reading the book?
No.
I probably want
to see
maybe the audiobook of it.
I might want to see the room now.
Yeah, but with the crowd though, the less people are like, if you watch it by yourself, you're gonna get bummed out. But I recommend it with a crowd,
kind of like a Napoleon Dynamite thing. If you watch it by yourself, it's not funny.
Maybe it would just be the less funniest way. Okay. Like I saw it with Lexi, right? Like I said, and she was laughing at the right times. But if I wasn't there for her to tell me what the hell, what I'm saying, you gotta have someone to bounce ideas back off of.
Two people that have never seen it before watch it together?
Oh, that'd be amazing. If I was there just to watch you guys, like, you won't see me. Just to see your reactions.
You'll just be watching us.
I want to see your reactions.
It's fucking creepy.
I don't care. I mean, I know you for like 20 years. So you know me how creepy I am. What do you think of the premiere and stuff? I really like the premiere.
It's like only like 1/100th of your lifespan.
Thank you. 1/100th. You're giving me a lot of credit. I'm going to live forever. So what did you think of the premiere scene? Like when the movie's over and stuff? It works like almost like a fourth act, but not really.
Yeah, it was weird because it's like at first he was so bummed out. And he was distraught that this movie, was not what people wanted, what he wanted it to be. But then he kind of just went with it. And it's like, okay, they're laughing at it. Maybe, I just got to play it off that this is meant as a comedy.
Well, did you buy that? That's my point. Did you buy that his character would do that and say this?
It could be just that moment of acceptance.
Hmm. I think what happened in reality, don't quote me on this, but I think what happened is that it took Tommy Wiseau a few years to see the movie for what it is now, which is a cult classic comedy. Yeah. But I don't think he took it well the first times.
I doubt it.
So I think they sped through that. That whole plot to that one night and Greg convincing him. I think Greg did a good job. Dave Franco was clearly his best movie. Not that he has like a lot of movies to compare him to, but he did a good job because he has to play like a bad actor, and he's never been a great actor. But all he's got to do is play the role, and I think he did a good job to do it really well. And he just had to play like a friend of a weirdo. Like, we all have a weirdo friend in school. Sometimes I was that person for another, and other people were that to me. Like, they were the weirdos to me. Like, oh my God. But I still hung out with them.
There was someone weirder than you?
Yeah, there were like two or three, but I killed them all. So.
Were they like burned at the stake?
Yeah, they were witches.
Exactly. Salem?
Yep, Salem. Salem. We call them Salem. I'm not that weird, bro. I don't know why you have weird-ass friends too, man. You're pretty fucking weird. Yeah. Yeah, you.
In comparison, I'm pretty tame, Oscar.
No, you just wish you were tame. You just look a little rule follower. That's all you are. Sorry, I make fun of him for that. So I liked it, but I also, so when the screening was happening, I felt like Tommy Wiseau. Like, I was laughing at first, like the audience would. Like, audiences who've seen the room before. I was laughing at first when the movie started, and everyone was feeling awkward. And then when they started laughing, I started feeling bad, because Tommy Wiseau was feeling bad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, this is just cruel. Showing me.
Exactly. It's excruciating just to watch this man like suffer.
And he's crying and he walks out, and that whole scene is really cool.
How long is the room anyways? Because that's
like 90 minutes.
That was like a 3 hour
long thing. Sometimes it feels like 3 hours. I mean, there's definitely like, you remember when that girl tells like, how long is this sex scene? It's a whole song. It's ridiculous. The guy overdoes it by a mile. Like, there's this scene where he's like running water through. Remember, he looks at running water at one point. Yeah. He just like a bunch of those, and we all like call it out when it's going to come out again. We know it's going to happen in the next sex scene. There's four sex scenes in 30 minutes, Luke.
Oh my God!
In 30, 40 minutes, it's like four of them. It's ridiculous. And then there's this plot point where he's has a recording device that clearly wouldn't work the way it does to get information from his cheating wife that he doesn't know yet at the time, even though he should be obvious. And he presses, and then so many scenes later, and he go gets the tape again as if he's been recording this whole time. It doesn't make any sense. And there is no room.
Okay, so what I want to know is, in this movie, he had a guy that was kind of doing a behind-the-scenes documentary of it.
Right, that he was used it for as a spy tool.
Like, that movie?
I want to see the footage.
Where the fuck is that?
I don't know. Maybe it's like maybe it violates a lot of rights or people's privacy. Yeah. We don't know why. Maybe it's in the DVD. I have the DVD downstairs. I just don't think it's on there.
Oh, okay.
I bought the DVD of this movie because I've shown it to people. I've had my own little room parties with like three or four people, and
But that usually includes like, you know, hookers and stuff.
Right, exactly. Hookers and the lawmen that get them. You know, gotta get entertain everybody. I really like how by the end of the movie, and this is like a weird thing to like, but Tommy Wiseau, you know, he doubles down and he says to the crowd at the end of the movie, and everyone loves him, he's like, how did you guys like my comedy? It's totally intentional. And like so obvious. Like, come on, he's from Europe. He's not from here. broken English, you know, about it all. And it was just... Yeah, it was a really good movie. I was really surprised. Like, I knew it was going to be good because, you know, everyone's hailing it, and I love The Room, like I said. So it's like a double whammy for me. It's like watching a biopic of your favorite hero portrayed or something, or someone you really know. Like, it's going to be important for you. And that's how it was for me. But it was better than that even. So I really, really liked The Disaster Artist. There's a lot to say for me about art that I don't think we have enough time to get into, mainly because... because you haven't seen The Room, and you haven't, you're not as steeped into the lore of it, so I don't have anything to really bounce ideas off you yet. And I almost want to say, like, I want to have like a, I don't know, maybe talk to another filmmaker about it, or a filmmaker wannabe, like myself, who wants to do that. Anyway, but would you recommend this movie? Would you watch it again? Would you? Can you see this happening? I mean, a lot of people are calling this an early Oscar buzz for this movie. What do you think of those things?
Oscar buzz, probably.
Yeah.
Especially on James Franco.
Yeah, for sure. Would you
rewatch it? I kind of probably want to watch The Room and then rewatch this.
Nice.
I think that probably be the most beneficial thing now.
As a little personal here, but your friend Jake, has he seen this movie?
It's funny. I was with him the other day.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh yeah, I want to go see The Disaster Artist. I'm like, dude, I just saw that in the morning. Had I known.
But has he seen The Room?
I think he, yes, he has.
Oh, okay.
Because of American Movie.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
Because of that.
I think the guy who wrote that one.
A mutual friend of ours, okay, who also liked the American Movie, was like, told him, like, hey, have you seen The Room?
American Movie is a perfect example of this. Yes. That's like a double feature right there. That's a good one. I was going to say, if he hasn't seen it, you two should watch it, because you two have the same comedic timing styles that I think you guys would appreciate with each other. It'll be a good movie anyway for that. But, yeah, so you would recommend you watch it again, and you're up for the buzz of it. Anyway. So that is The Disaster Artist. We highly recommend it. Let's see here. And that is it for our show. You have been listening to another movie podcast. Oh, hi, Roth.
Hey, missed you there. Yeah.
I was here the whole time.
You were here the whole time, but you did not catch the movie. In spirit, he was here. Sucks that you missed it, Roth. I hope you still catch it by the end of the year, though.
I really was here the whole time.
No, but you know what I mean, for the review. So.
No, he said in spirit. I was here the whole time.
You didn't actually project. That wasn't you a second ago? No. Oh, my bad. Anyway, let's exit out of here. Remember, guys, feedback can be sent to podmoviecast@gmail.com. Tell us your thoughts on these movies, especially The Disaster Artist and Coco. I want to know about them. A lot. Or I was going to say something else. Never mind. Otherpodcast.com is where you can follow our shit. Armin Filmmaker. That's Armin Filmmaker. Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N is my Twitter and Letterboxd for my movie watching habits. Ralph, where can people find you on Twitter if you want?
You can find me at Gamer Ralph. Gamer Ralph. Okay.
Are you doing anything on Twitch you want to mention or no?
I haven't been doing shit. Okay.
Cool. Just making sure. Luke, do you have anything?
You can find me at your local sperm bank.
That's true.
Populating the world one look at a time.
His girlfriend and his right hand and him are going to hook up there.
Yeah, we're doing a cross-country tour.
With a special guest appearance of Left Hand.
Right. Yeah. The Dutch rudder.
At Blind Noir.
Blind Noir. Oh, right. You didn't even say it. Skip him. Just gonna fucking skip him. Yeah. All right. Remember, guys, we are a bi-weekly show. We come out every other weekend. Not Friday.
That's what bi-weekly.
Feel free to send me your things for the Spank Bank.
Damn. Really? What do you like? Chicks with a horse?
No.
No. Okay. Next time.
That's illegal, sir.
Next time on the weekend of December 22nd, right before fucking
Christmas.
That one. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. I almost forgot. I was going to say Hanukkah, but that's not true. That's on the 15th. We're going to be reviewing, you guessed it,
Guardians.
Nope. Star Wars The Last Jedi. You know what? How's this? We can watch Guardians if we skip Star Wars.
I'm not crazy enough to do it.
Say it. Say, yeah, you'll do it. He won't do it.
I know he won't.
No, I know you won't.
Guardians is the Russian answer to our Marvel craze. It is their, like, Avengers.
This is not a good idea.
Of course. It's getting a sequel. They're actually going to make a sequel of this movie.
Yeah, well, yeah, they hate.
Yeah, they have an excess amount of athletes that they can use for the movie.
Yeah. Okay. Topical there.
Slinger, yep.
Yeah. No, we're not watching this movie. So it'll be Star Wars The Last Jedi. They're going to be reviewing the new Margot Robbie film, I, Tanya, about Tanya Harding, that figure skater. I hear it's the Goodfellas of figure skating. Can't wait to see that one.
That's what the trailer says.
Well, that's what I heard, too.
Is that what the trailer says?
Yeah. I don't know.
I haven't seen a trailer. I don't even know what this movie is.
You know Margot Robbie, right?
I know who Margot Robbie is.
Robbie, sorry. Mm. You know who Tanya Harding is?
No.
No?
Figure skater.
Oh, okay.
Busted the
no, I thought you knew.
Figure skater's kneecap.
Yeah, remember with a bat and shit or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a famous Olympian scandals. Yeah, it's about her. It's going to be fun. And we're going to end our show with...
Guardians.
The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
What the fuck is that?
It's Yorgos Lanthimos' newest movie. Like, the guy who did The Lobster.
Why didn't you open with that?
No, because it's the least known film.
So let's start off with that.
No, I know. And when
no, why didn't you open with it's Yorgos
Lanthimos? Oh. Oh, no. Well, I'm saying it now. Yorgos Lanthimos' the Lobster.
What the fuck is that title?
And Dogtooth. It's called The Killing of a Sacred Deer. It stars the guy from The Lobster. The main, Colin Farrell, yeah. I hear it's really fucked up. I hear this movie is more fucked up than The Lobster.
That's not the one that was filmed here, right?
I don't know where it was filmed. I don't know nothing about this movie except that he's like a surgeon or something. That's all I know. I don't know nothing about these movies. Even Star Wars, I've only seen the teaser. I still haven't seen the regular trailer.
Yeah, neither.
So, because it's Ryan Johnson. Guys.
I'm really good about avoiding things. I don't know how.
Well, we're just not savvy with the pop. Like, I'm savvier than you guys because I listen to a lot of critiques, but I don't watch a lot of trailers. I don't watch a lot. So I hear about it secondhand.
Yeah.
Oh, the new trailer for this. I saw the new Avengers trailer because my coworker, like, shoved it in my face.
Still haven't seen it.
It's pretty good. That's every single person from any of the movies, from the last 12 movies.
That's fine. I just...
I'm just saying it just is insane because it has all those people in it.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's like... Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. I don't see money. Yeah, I'm really good at avoiding stuff. I can, like, if I skip, if I miss a Game of Thrones episode, I don't get spoiled accidentally. I just stay off Twitter.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
It's really not that hard for me at all. But those are the three movies. Now, if Luke does a really good job in the next 2 weeks to convince me, we will add a fourth of this movie called Security Guard. What's it called again?
Guardians,
right. Right, Guardians. If this movie's over 2 hours, I'm saying no, flat. Flat no. And you better bring me the movie, hand-drawn and ready to watch. I'm not going to pick it up.
I already have the DVD.
Okay, I'm just saying. It better have all this criteria met. And even then, I like, you know, some like a burger would be nice. Like a Russian burger. So that is going to be our show for the most part. So until then, my loyal cinephiles. I am Oscar.
Ralph.
And
Luke.
Are you really?
Yes. It's 1:40. Fuck you.
Okay. All right. See you later. God damn it.
In case I don't see you. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Just ready then? Can we just start? Yeah.
Didn't you pick the movies last week as well?
I pick every other time, yeah.
See, that's
because Rob picks every other time. But I let you pick Justice League out of that. I'm not giving you another one of my picks. You didn't pick anything from Rob's pick. Why don't you pick from his stuff? Yeah, so I thought. No.
It's like you never let me get picks.
Yeah, because you're not here long enough.
So when I'm here, I should get picks.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
It's not at your convenience.
I missed out on weeks and weeks of picks.
Yeah, you don't even watch anything. I'm going to read the thing here.
Let me see.
Oh, do you want to read it?
Let me see it.
I don't care. You have IMDb.
How do you say his name? Wiseau?
I heard it pronounced in the movie as Wiseau and then Wiseau. So, whatever you want. Remember, call him Tommy always. Okay? It's bullshit. I didn't hit her. One of the trailers for the movie was just that whole thing.
Yeah?
Yeah. Obviously cut down, but yeah.
Okay.
5, 4... Your dumbass has been checked.
Running.
Okay. Running and Duma. Running and
we're flux capacitor fluxing.
Oh, there was this...
I'm going to turn off my mic. Can you guys hear that in the background?
In Mr. Robot.
He's like, yeah.
In Mr. Robot, there's the last episode. Because he's placed like a view or two behind us. It doesn't ruin anything. It's the episode where Marty McFly travels to 2015. That's the year they're in.
Okay.
It's that day, and they're watching Back to the Future 2 in a movie theater full of these people. And there's this, like, Doc Brown dress-up guy next to him, and he has to go to the bathroom. He's like, can you hold my flux capacitor? He does a little bit with that thing. And it was really cute. Anyway. We never took advantage of that day, did we? It must have been, like, a Thursday. We're all working. We couldn't go.
Probably.
You think how much will people lose their shit if the Cubs have won that year and not the year after? Right. So, you know, lower that?
Dude, it's low. It's 2 bars.
Turn yours on?
Mine is on.
Okay.
There's nothing playing.
I can fucking hear it.
Can hear it too. Go away, mommy, mijo. Go away, mama. Yeah? Drop everything.
Hey, you want to drop this again?
Oh, snap. Oh, snap.
What did he say?
Yes. It's oh, snap.
I want to see.
Anyway, I saw that the survey deadline is actually until January 31st, so whenever you want. You want to add the alligator?
No, but Oscar,
I don't get it.
Why don't you drop the most of the week?
Oscar, do you want to donate to the alligator?
To the alligator.
Because he's getting the Resident Evil board game, right?
Resident Evil 2 board game.
Yeah, and you can get the alligator as a thing to fight against.
Bro, this is like bonkers. A board
you
game.
Get so much cool shit.
This game is bonkers.
Wait, I played it first time. It wasn't that. I mean, it was bonkers the first time I played it, I guess.
The board game?
Yeah.
Resident Evil 2.
The board game?
No.
Not the card game.
Not the card game.
Oh, this is a different game then.
This is a board game. This is the video game board game mosaicized.
What, so you go to the cop station and shit? And
you should do everything, yeah. The, Claire and all the heroes have to live.
These are all the things you can add on. Formations, retro pack.
And one's a crocodile?
Monster sets.
Oh, that, I remember that part.
Three different monster sets, doors.
Wait, do you fight that guy in the suit?
Here. Giant alligator.
Oh, my God. So what's bonkers about it, other than all these figures?
All that stuff is extra.
Is the game good, though?
I guess the game
should be as good as they're going at, right?
Yeah.
But theoretically.
I've always loved that. It's my favorite of the art of all the...
Yeah, me too. The same guys who made the video game.
Nice.
Made this board game.
Well, what else are they doing?
Nothing.
Okay, can we do this?
No.
Why not?
All right.
Wait, what are we doing first?
We're going to do his thing first.
Okay, I'll just shut up.
You don't want to make fun of him for watching Spider-Man so late?
Okay.
Five.
Four.
Three. Two.